こんにちは。
こんにちは。
今日は特別編ということでゲストが来ています。イエイ。
こんにちは。
高エネルギー加速器研究機構をベルグループ助教の中山博之さんです。お願いします。
よろしくお願いします。
イエイ。なんかね、加速器、
はい、
最新のものがあるということで、
そうなんですよ、
それを見に来ませんかっていうふうにメッセージをいただいて、逆にその前に番組に来てもらえませんかって言ったら一瞬で快諾していただいたっていう。
でも見に行きたいよ
ね、行きたい。筑波ですよね、
はい、ぜひいらしてください。
なんかそもそもバイリンガルニュース聞いてくださってたんですよね。
そうなんですよ、もう何年もずっと聞いていて。
おお。
Are we making a lot of mistakes?
Not really, yeah.
No?
So, yeah, Michael is really, you know, when you, you know, talk about this kind of particle physics things,
yeah
you're really, you know, good at explaining it in a simple way for the normal people. So I also learn a lot from the...What you talk, you know, what you talk about.
すごい褒められた。
難しい。
そう、まさにその、素粒子専門、専門ですよね。
そうです。
ということで、マイケルもすごいテンション上がってたんだけどね。うん、何でも聞けるぞっていう。
何でも答えれる。
そもそもの、お仕事の内容を教えていただいてもいいですか。
そうですね。僕は、そういう今先ほど紹介していただきましたけど、その非常に大きな加速器と呼ばれる装置を使って、素粒子の研究をしています。でその大きな加速器を使って、大規模な実験を行うことで実はそれが宇宙の謎を解く鍵につながっているということで、そういう、この自然界の謎を、解くための鍵を探している、そういう研究をしています。
すごいね、それが仕事っていうのがすごいテンション上がった 今だけで、
So, is there anything you're specifically working on?
Yeah, so I'm actually working on, not on accelerator, but on the detector side. So, because, so we have the huge accelerator machine.
Right.
So, for making that, we need a special people who is, you know, specialized in that building the accelerator. And using the accelerator, we shoot particles and we generate some new particles by colliding to... positrons and electrons. So we are looking at what comes out from that collision.
Right.
So that is our detector. So I'm working on that detector side specifically.
測定器ってやつですよね。
Yes, that's right, yeah.
And that's definitely one of the most sophisticated detectors. Right?
Yes, yeah. So we are, you know, actually, yeah, so we have just we are now preparing for the upgrade of the detector. So we are making the, you know, state of the art technology.For example, like the silicon wear devices、
right.
or whatever.、Mm. So, so it's quite challenging, yeah, experiment.
So what's involved in upgrading one of these things? It's quite expensive and quite
you know that,
detail-oriented,
yeah.
right?
Yes, so the accelerator is also upgrading after the shutdown in 2010.、
Mm.
So after 6 years, we have...just started you know, test operation of the new upgraded accelerator, so which has some, you know, ability to generate some particles which we are interested in,
right,
by 40 times higher rate. So it's quite challenging because the previous one has already got the world best record. So we are challenging the 40 times of the world record. So it's quite a crazy challenge, but
right.
Now we are working on that.
How large is this machine?
Yes,
exactly?
So it's 3 kilometers in circumference in Tsukuba. So there is our campus. So we have the underground tunnel. So there is the vacuum tubes going around that tunnel. So we shoot the particles along that vacuum tubes.
Is it perfectly round?
Not really.
Does it?
So it's like, you know, how to say, we have some straight part and we also have some arc positions.
Oh, but is the circle round?
Yeah, it's circle round, yes.
Yeah, so it's a perfect circle.
Not circle, so the tunnel is 3 kilometers in circumference.
Yeah.
But we have some straight section and also the round section.
Circuit みたいな形ですよね。
And this is a linear acceleration?
No, this is a circular collider.
How do you actually accelerate the particle itself, though?
Yes. So we use the kind of, you know, microwave to accelerate particles. So a particle has some charge. So by injecting some microwaves to the vacuum tubes, we can, at the exactly right timing, so we can accelerate the particle which just goes through the area.
Wait, so why do you want to accelerate it?
Yes.
すごい、もう超ベーシックの質問。Yes,
so the, imagine the microscope, right? So that using the, how to say, 可視光, the normal light. Mm. So that's a very, you know, small apparatus which you can find in the lab, right?
Right.
So but if you want to look into much, you know, micro world, so much tiny things, so you need to have more powerful light.
Right.
Right? So the powerful light means that the wavelength is shorter. So that is why we can see the, you know, small things.
Okay.
Right? So the shorter wavelengths, right, is has more power.
Okay.
So like this. So if you want to look into the very small things, you need to have some high energy things, right?
Mm.
So that's why, you know, because we are looking at the quite small things,
right?
Elementary particles, soryushi.
Mm.
So then we need to have the very high energetic beams to really look into the such small world.
Maybe we should talk about like what a particle is.
Okay, yeah.
So, like,
yeah, I just said.
And how it relates to an atom.
Yes, yeah. So the atom is made of the genshikaku and the denshi. Denshi is electron, which is orbiting around the genshikaku.
Mm.
So we are accelerating that electron, denshi. And also the so-called the particle called positron.
Positron.
So I will come back to this later. But
okay.
The positron is the has a quite same characteristics with the electrons, but the electric charge is, you know, flipped. So the positron has a positive charge, and the electron has a negative charge.
Okay.
This is something that occurs with particles generally, right? With like the parity principle, there's sort of this idea of mutual annihilation.
It's a very good point. So the we call electron as a matter or particle, and the positron is called antimatter or antiparticle.
Mm.
So why anti? Because it's not, it does not exist in the, you know, normal world.
Yeah.
So we can only make them artificially, right? So that. So that is why we call the electron as a particle and the positron as an antiparticle.
Okay.
But in principle, those are the same. Right?
Okay.
So I will come back to this later, but at the beginning of the universe, we have both particles.
Okay.
But somehow now we only have the particles and we don't see any antiparticles.
It's baryogenesis. Yeah?
You know. You know it.
Yeah, there's a problem.
Great. Yeah. So
this is one of the greatest mysteries right
now.
Yes. It's baryogenesis.
Our experiment is also looking at that mystery.
So somehow this antimatter is gone and we can't see it anymore.
Yes. Yeah.
But we do know that it used to exist at the end of at the beginning of the universe.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
It makes sense.
Okay, I'm keeping up so far.
In the beginning, it makes sense that it would be sort of perfectly symmetrical in a way.
Right.
Yeah.
You know, for all the matter produced, there would be a corresponding antimatter.
Mm-hmm.
But we look around us and we don't really see that exactly. But we have so much evidence that that was the case then.
Okay.
Yep. So because the universe was born from the vacuum. So it's essentially it's energy. So energy creates the pair of the matter and antimatter, or particle and antiparticle. So at the beginning of the universe, we strongly believe that we had both particle and antiparticle at the same number.
Mm.
Yeah. But somehow, you know, the antimatter has disappeared. So
okay.
That is a big mystery
okay.
that we should solve.
So, well,
but it's a good thing. Otherwise, we wouldn't be here.
Maybe, yeah.
Right?
What would it have looked like?
Sorry?
Like antimatter, what would it have looked like if it was still here?
So it annihilates with the particle, so we just disappear.
Mm-hmm.
And
okay.
Only the energy is left.
Oh.
So, do you think an antimatter drive is possible?
Antimatter drive? What do you mean?
Antimatter drive is a form of getting energy by I mean, it's a theoretical technology, but you would get energy from combining particles with their antiparticles.
Yeah, so like that comes to the question, how you generate the antimatter particles?
Yeah.
We need energy to create antiparticles, right? So
where are they?
I don't know. Yeah.
Plus minus zero, みたいな.
But if we if we find the antimatter particles,
we already have. We already have, you know, discovered the antimatter or antiparticles from the, you know, hitting the some beam to the material and then generate some shower, and inside those showers we see the particles and antiparticles. Yeah. So it's already, you know, 80 or 19 years ago.
One thing that always trips me out is just thinking about atoms and how everything is basically just made of atoms. But it's, if you actually look at an atom on a true scale, how small the nucleus actually is. There's nothing there.
Yes.
There's almost nothing there.
Yes.
Like, you are made out of almost nothing. Like, just the how much space is in an atom is ridiculous.
Yeah. So if you shoot some, you know, particle to the gold foil, it just, you know, basically goes through.
Yeah.
And only when it just hit the, you know,
it's hard to do.
Yeah, right? Genshikaku, it's scattered back. So the, yeah, we are quite transparent if we so small that we can transfer.
Yeah. Right, right.
But that's why, like, neutrinos go right through us.
Yeah.
It doesn't hit anything.
Yeah.
そうか、そうだ、その話したもんね。ニュートリノからしたらスカスカってことですよね。
So, like, the reason why my hand doesn't just go straight through this table is just the electron effect, basically, right?
So there's two things. So neutrino is so small, and also neutrino interact with other particles very weakly, right? So the if there is some particles and then the other particle is approaching here, so the how you know close they pass through determines how scattered they are, right? And how close that limit is determined by the interaction strength of the interaction.
Okay.
So the neutrino has very weak interaction. So although they just pass by the, you know, side of the particles, it's not so scattered strongly, right? But you know, if you smash the hand to the desk, so that so there is so then the much stronger power interacts with the, your hand and desk. So you know, you just there's some sound and you just cannot make it through.
Yeah, it's I think people tend to think about all this stuff and, you know, it's happening over there in the collider, but the atoms and all that's right here.
Yeah, it's right here.
Right. Yes, you know, the microphones made out of the, you know, these things are happening all the time.
Yes, yeah. And also the cosmic rays are, you know,
yeah, yeah, that too.
So if you have some hand like this, so you know you have the cosmic ray, which go through your hand. So particles are everywhere around you.
The idea of just really really small stuff is fascinating to me. Just like just super super small, and how. Because everything is made out of such small things, what we observe on the quantum level actually presents itself in our atomic, like, Newtonian scale. So, like, if radiation hits some skin cell and then you get cancer from it, like, that's like a quantum level thing happening. Mm-hmm. And then you die, or, you know, it's it's crazy to think that something like that's happening on such a small scale.
It also happens, you know, if you are looking at something with eye, right? It's golden coca or whatever. So it's also the quantum process, I guess.
It's like it's so mijika, demo dakara koso it's and it's exciting, but then at the same time, that's why it's confusing to normal people like me.
Yeah,
because it's like. What do you mean?
So the one of the reason why it's so, you know, difficult to understand is that in such, you know, small world, the physics law seems different from the one which we know from the daily life. Right? So our daily life is, you know, following the Newton Hosoku or whatever. But if you go inside the atom, there's another interaction which is, dominates. So the it's conflict with your instinct that
right.
If you do the experiment carefully, you will find some different theory in such world.
そもそもその素粒子、
はい、
この今のお仕事にたどり着いた経緯というか、
はい、
そのバックグラウンドを教えていただきたいんですけど、
僕はまあ高校の頃からこういうのが好きで、まあ、数学も好きだったんですけど、まあ、あの高校で習う数学と物理って、まあ、結構似てるような気がするんですけど、ちょっとどういう教育を受けたかにもよると思いますが、日本の教育だと割と同じで、数学って最初に公理アクシオムがあって、そこからいろんなデダクション計算をしていって、なんかそのあのいろんな複雑な結果を出していくじゃないですか、なんか正弦定理とかなんかなんとかの定理とか、で高校の物理も多分最初にそのニュートンの法則とかがもう与えられてて、でそこからいろんな計算をしていって、なんか木から落ちる猿をこう鉄砲で撃つみたいな、そういう複雑な結果を計算するっていうのが高校でやる物理だと思うんですよ、
はい、
でも多分本当のそのサイエンスというのはそういうそのエンペリカリに与えられたその法則があるわけじゃなくて、そのいろんな実験を通じて自然とこう対話というか、自然にこういろいろ教えてもらいながら、その最初に置いた仮定のセオリーをどんどんアップデートしていくっていうのが、
そうですよね。それをなんで学校で教えてくれなかった、だからその最初にイントロとして、そのだから私はこうずっと多分前ポッドキャストで言ったけど、27、8年間その数学っていうのはとか、そういう法則とかっていうのは人が考えついたものかのように思ってたんですよね。だからその自然に存在しているものを解き明かしていく、そんなミステリアスな面白いものっていう印象全くないままに大人になってしまったから、すごいもったいなかったなっていう。
そうですよね。
It's crazy how much we don't understand, really. And nobody does. There's not a single person on this entire planet that really knows the answers.
Yeah.
It's actually amazing that, you know, we have been working on this physics, you know, elementary particle physics for, you know,decades, but we still have some great significant discovery in these days, right? So we are updating the theory every time.
There's theories like, well, if we had this technology, then we would be able to confirm this phenomenon, and the scientists just kind of have to wait for it to like catch.
Yes, that is also true. Yeah. So our experiment, you know, the Bell and the KKV experiment has contributed to the winning the Nobel Prize.Of the Kobayashi Maskawa theory, those are the Japanese theorists, so who, you know, who invented some new theory. But we had to wait, you know, several tens of years until we are able to confirm that by building the new, you know, building a huge accelerator. So we have to wait for the, you know, technology catch ups
to
really confirm such theory.
Well, the gravity waves took over 100 years.
Yeah, that is also true.
It took over 100 years for us to have that technology.
Yeah, it's quite amazing. Yeah.
It's crazy. Like, you can sit down and, or I don't know how Einstein was doing it, but he's on a chalkboard or something, and he's predicting something that no one could actually confirm for over 100 years.
Yeah.
Like, the power of just being able to think and theorize is amazing.
It's amazing, yeah.
ね、頭の力だけで未来に生きてるってことだもんね、彼は。That's crazy. その素粒子にそもそも興味を持ったきっかけみたいなのってあったんですか？
そうですね、高校の頃はまあ、その物理とかその科学が好きだなとは思ってたんですけど、その素粒子になんか特化したって興味を持ってたっていうわけであんまりなくて、実はなんかあんまり当時素粒子のことも知らなかったですし、むしろなんかこう身の回りのあのなんかブランコってなんで焦げるんだろうとか、そういうことに興味を持ってましたね。あのピンポン玉で弟と家の中で野球をしてるときにその変化球を投げるんですけど、その変化球がなんでこっちに曲がるのかとか、そういう
細かい、
かなり身の回りのことに興味があって、今でもまあそうですけど、でそれとかあんまり知らなかったんですけど、まあ、大学に入っていろんなものを見ながら見ていく中で、まあ、やっぱり一番その根源にあるところの興味っていうのがすごくあって。
Why were you interested in math initially?
Math?
Yeah, you said you had interest in math in high school, yeah?
Ah, okay. So the... 得意だったから。数学割とそんなに苦手じゃなかったんですよ。
But having a good understanding of math, that sort of mathematical thinking seems like that's what you need to really approach quantum physics, because it's so counterintuitive, right?
Yes. Yeah, that is so true. But the high school math and, you know, math needed for the quantum theory is quite different, right?
そうか。想像できない, that math.
I mean, so you don't, you know, really numerically calculate in the quantum theory, but you have to follow all the equation and the 式の変形を追っていくとか. That is more like the 哲学, whatever.
They used to think that atoms were the smallest thing.
That's what I thought until recently, though. Like, when did it...
until recently? Like, how recently?
I don't know.
You might be the last person.
Maybe.
<out.
laughs> Yeah.
Maybe. But that's how I don't know anything.
But the root of the word atom, atomos, actually means indivisible.
Yes.
So, that's not even true anymore, really.
Yeah.
So, ah,そうだね.
So now we think that elementary particles are quarks and you know, leptons, but maybe... we could find much, you know, smaller.
Like the, what is it? The Planck scale?
I don't know about that.
Is the Planck scale the smallest?
Planck scale? What do you mean?
Like, don't they call it Planck scale? Like P-L-A-N-C-K? Like.
Yeah, I know about that. So the different elementary particle has different sizes. Mm. Yeah. So we just, you know, break down the in atoms. For example, atoms divided into the electrons and the nuclei. Nuclei is made of the protons and neutrons. And protons and neutrons can be broken down to the three quarks, right? So the quarks and the leptons.
Yeah.
That is what we believe, that the most smallest consist, you know, most smallest things which consist of our world. But I'm not sure, you know, that is the final answer or not.
There might be smaller stuff.
Yeah.
I don't know. Like, they just keeps going infinitely small. Is there a limit to smallness?
That I don't have any idea. Yeah.
There's no like theoretical limit on how small stuff can be.
That's a good question. That I don't know.
ね、 すごい気になる。 確かに。
Like, why couldn't stuff just be smaller
forever? Forever.
Yeah, that's.
Because it feels like 大きい方はなんか infinitely. あってもおかしくないみたいな感じじゃない？宇宙の話してる時みんな。
Yeah, but why couldn't it be infinitely?
ね、確かにその逆は考えたことなかった。
Yeah, that's a good question. Yeah.
いけたらどうする？
then we have to define what the size means, right?
確かに。
So as I said, that if you want to measure the smaller things, you need a high energy, right? So we need quite high energy to really define much smaller sizes, right?
Right.
Is an example, so people are, it seems like people are debating whether or not a graviton exists, the particle equivalent of a gravity wave.
Yep.
That we don't know the answer for whether graviton exists, right?
Yeah, I don't think so, yeah.
Yeah, so, but would a graviton be, like you would need a lot of energy to detect a graviton, right? It's kind of a weak interacting... Because gravity is the weakest fundamental force, right?
Yep. So that is outside my, you know, expertise, but it's quite an interesting topic, I guess.
Because I think we wouldn't be able to prove the exist or detect a graviton for a long, long time, right? Because I think people are saying like the energy requirement's so large because the particle, if it exists, is so weak.
Maybe we should invite gravity professionals. we do have such professional people. Yeah.
Oh, you do.
Yeah.
So, are the people involved? They're all fairly specialized. Yeah.
Yes. So there is some theory. Researchers, theorist who is doing the theory research, and also the experimentalist who is building the detector sensors, and also the machine people, which means the accelerator experts. So those people are in my lab.
すごいな。なんかこう同じゴールは同じだけど、 大きいゴールは一緒だけど、それぞれの専門は全く違いますよね。
そうですね。
It's too much work for one person, though.
Yes.
Oh yeah, there's no way, right?
It's way too much work.
So for example, to building our detector itself, so we have more than 600 collaborations in all over the world.
Wow.
So from 25 countries and regions right now.
Wow.
So each people has some, you know, specialty, right? Mm. So someone has, you know quite well about thin silicon devices, and someone is very good at writing the programs, and someone is very good at the computing things, and someone is good at many things. So the our goal is the same. So we want to see something new by doing such crazy experiment. Yeah.
Do you ever think about? Do you ever see things sort of as a particle physicist? Like you look around and you kind of. Your brain just sees the like particle things going on. You know what I mean?
職業病みたいな。
どうなんですかね。
Like you don't like if you look at the aluminum on this computer or something, you have some understanding about it that's beyond like if I didn't know anything, I just look at it, it's a shape.
Awareness があるもんね。
Like the way that you see the world has seems like it would be.Slightly different just because of the understanding.
So if I go to the DIY shop, so we to do the experiment, so we need some very advanced technology, but we also need some such daily technologies to solve some minor problems. So that if I go to the DIY shop, I always looking around and try to find some
なんかいい部品ないかなみたいな
like some special tapes
right なんかその生きていく中で何か影響を受けてることってありますか。なんかこの前の特別編で高井さん深海の高井さん生きてた時も収録の後になんかこうすごい壮大なことをいつも考えてると あんまりこうちっちゃいことでイライラしなくなったりとかしますって言ったら全然するよって言って
結構もちろん夢はすごく大きいんですけど、その日々やってる仕事っていうのはそのこの装置をうまく動かすにはどうしたらいいかとか言って結構その現実的なことを考えてるので、そんな普段からその夢の世界にいるわけではあんまりないですけど、ただその、物理からっていうよりもむしろその海外の人と一緒に普段仕事をしてるっていうことはすごく影響を受けていて、うち、奥さんも働いてるんで共働きなんですけど、海外の人も共働きの人が多くて、そういう意味でいろんなそういう、その仕事と家庭の両立の話とか、僕も子供今小さいんですけど、その子供の話とか、やっぱ子育てのやり方って国によって結構違ったりとかして、でそういう話をしたりっていうことで影響を受けてるっていうのは多いですね。
ちなみに KEK にはどれくらい、いらっしゃるんですか。何年ぐらい。
僕ですか。僕は2010年に着任したので、はい、今は6年目ぐらいですかね。
そっか。
What does your desk look like?
Desk. It's messy.
Yeah.
Yeah. Actually, I'm not in the office usually. So I'm in the experimental hall usually. To do some measurements or.
Okay.
Yeah. What sort of environment is that? Do you just have a bunch of
you
tools?
You will see if you can come to.
行きたい見たい。なんかもう謎だもん全てが。
So I think you will be overwhelmed by how big the detector is. Yeah, actually, I visited our lab when I was the graduate student. Undergraduate student.
Yeah.
So we had to choose, which laboratory to go. And I was just, getting getting just side of the detector, and it's about 80 meters tall.So it's quite huge and heavy thing. So I was so, impressed by that, and I chose this.
All those all the detectors. It's weird. Like to detect something so tiny, you have to build something so huge.
Yeah, so huge.
Yeah. Same with the neutrinos too. Like you have to get around in a boat.
right.
Yeah, actually, I went into the.
Oh really?
Yeah. Oh.
With a boat.
At that time there was no water, so I can walk around the bottom of the tank, and it's quite beautiful if you see those tubes, photomultiplier tubes from inside. Yeah.
なんかねそのサイズ、なんかその加速器はすごい大きいし、素粒子はすごいちっちゃいし、なんかそのサイズについてそんなに考えることが普段ないじゃないですか。なんか 差がすごすぎて。
そうですよね。
だからさっきの その、そもそものサイズっていうことの定義っていうか、ちょっと一瞬おっしゃいましたけど、それもだこの今だから自分の人間サイズで見て相対的なことしかね分からないけれども、うん、
That's true in three dimensions as well as with time too. We don't really think about time the
right,
way
right.
it like is. It really is.
Right,
like,
right.
It's on the scale of just billions of years.
So talking about the scale, so we are looking at such small particles, but that is, you know, closely related to the universe.
Yeah.
Right? So that is also very amazing that by looking at small things, we can find the solution to the mystery of the large, huge universe. So that is also very interesting.
Well, looking at the smallest things tells you about the nature of probably the largest event that ever happened.
Yeah.
it's not a coincidence that it's this way, you know.
Yeah. It's weird. Like growing up as a normal person like who can't do math. Like it's like It's like なんか宇宙は大きすぎてわからないみたいな。でもなんか目こう見える小さいアリみたいな小さいものはそんな難しいものじゃないみたいな風に思ってきちゃったから You know, just to think about this thing, this whole Soryushi thing is just crazy to me.
Yeah, I think it's crazy too.
So like その KEK で働いてて一番なんかテンション上がったっていうか、はい、おーみたいな瞬間ってありました、まあ、
働く前だったんですけど、はい、その2008年にその我々がそのやってるベル実験っていうので証明した結果でその最初にその理論を考えたその2人の先生がノーベル賞を取ったんですけどやっぱその時はものすごく興奮しましたね当時まだあの院生だ大学院生だったんですけどもうその時の次の日の朝の新聞を隠し全部買い揃えて大事に置いてあります
そうだよね。
Were you pretty excited about the LIGO?
Yes,
gravity
we are, you know, not only me but other, you know, my colleagues who are working on this particle physics is also quite, you know, excited about
what,
this.
What do people in your field do with this information?
Do?
Yeah.
So read the paper and discuss and also find some colleagues who knows better and also ask for the You know, invite some speaker from this collaboration to give the seminar. Actually, we have the seminar next week.
Oh,
in my lab. Yeah.
Okay.
Is it possible that a discovery like this changes like the things that you guys are working on in some way?
Not really, I guess. Awesome. But if you were in a very
it's kind of soon.
If you were in a you know near field, it strongly affects your plan, I guess, for the future experiment.
So the Big Bang. It's
Big Bang.
It doesn't make any sense.
みんなに聞いてるもんね。あの高橋さん、あの X スペース X で働いてた高橋さんに始まり、高橋さんにも聞いたもんね。
It's unbelievable.
Unbelievable.
If it's true, if it assuming and it, the overwhelming consensus is that it's true, right?
Yep.
If the Big Bang happened. That's unbelievable. That's like the most difficult thing to believe ever. Mm-hmm. That stuff.
Yeah, from nothing.
Yeah.
Suddenly, some huge energy is given to the vacuum, and then our universe started to explode.
Yeah. So what do you think of the Big Bang?
What really happened?
Yeah, what really happened? Tell us.
I don't know. Because I was not, you know, alive
there.
You know, the experimental physicist. You know, do not believe the things which you don't see.
Right.
Yeah, but from you know, the theoretical calculation makes sense, and also it you know does not conflict with other observations so far.
Okay.
So so far, you know, we keep it as a best hypothesis.
What there's an issue with the like general relativity basically falls apart at the singularity point, right?
Mm-hmm.
Like the math doesn't really work for the singularity.
Mm-hmm.
That we assume occurred, right? So, is there how can we approach this the singularity issue? Is that that's a quantum? Is quantum physics dealing with the singularity?
So I'm not so you know I don't know much about those general relativity theory, but we also have such singularity in the particle physics.
Yeah.
And in that case, we implemented some trick to avoid such singularity. So it doesn't matter for us. And that is also a great invention in the theory side.
Don't look at me.
So, what? We can modify the theory
which
so that it does not conflict with,
right,
other theory on all the observations. So that is how we developed our theory.
Yeah.
So the naively thinking theory might have such, such, I'd say, ketten that we can improve by introducing some new techniques.
And this is all working towards the theory of everything. Which is basically an intellectual mission of the human race at this point, right? People all around the world are working on this theory of everything. How do we unite quantum physics with relativity with how do we get all this to fit all nicely together?
Yeah.
All neat.
Yes.
Tidy.
So that also comes to the energy. So we need to make sure we need to achieve some higher energy to make sure that we can successfully merge those theories into one grand unification theory. So that is why we are seeking for the higher energy using the huge machine.
So the accelerator gets bigger and bigger.
Yep. That's a problem, right?
It's crazy,
yeah.
So how many accelerators are there in Japan? I thought なんか理研にもありますよね?
Yeah, so it depends on how we use them, right?
Okay.
So by the subproduct of this activity in the high energy physics field, so when you circulate the beam, so there is some light coming out from the beam, so that is very useful because that is so chromatic, the energy is すごい揃ってる. So we can look into タンパク質 or kusuri no bunshi. So for example, the Tamiflu or the flu is designed by using such accelerator. So that is not colliding some particles, but they use the light which comes out from the circulating beams.
Okay.
So such kind of accelerator is also in my lab and also in Spring 8.
Okay.
Yeah. And also there is much smaller accelerators in hospitals.
Okay.
Because if you want to kill the cancer, you can use some exosome or whatever, but you can also use some charged particles accelerated.
Like gamma rays.
Not gamma rays, but protons, for example. Oh. And if you use a proton, you can only kill that cancer part, because the protons are shooting into your body,
right.
So it stops inside your body, and it emits it deposits large energy just before they stop. So you don't damage your skins or other muscles, but you can kill the cancer inside, right? So that accelerator was quite big in 10 years ago, but now we have developed a new technology, so that can fit into one room in a hospital. So we have such small accelerators also in many hospitals. But we do have some huge accelerators like the one in our lab. And also not only in Japan, but also in the biggest one is in Geneva, Switzerland.
Okay.
Yeah, that is LHC Large Hadron Collider, which discovered Higgs. And we have similar huge accelerators in many other foreign laboratories.
So
is there any potential to weaponize this sort of technology?
I would say no. No. And we try not to, actually.
I hope so.
Yeah. Yeah, it'll suddenly change the tone.
Yeah. So that is Because, you know, we are working in collaboration with many countries.
Mm-hmm.
So if this kind of activity might be related to any, you know, interest of one country, right, the weapon or whatever, so the international collaboration just crafts, right?
Right, right.
So we try not to keep, we try to keep it away from the such things.
Right.
Mm. Actually, it was you know, declared by the first director general of the film lab in Chicago. So when they start to build the first huge accelerator in 1970s, I guess.
Okay.
Yeah.
So that director general was 議会に呼ばれて質問を受けて、
so
he was asked by other 国会議員
in the
States that is this contributing to some national security or and he says no, not at all. but he says also the really good thing, right? So he said that it does not contribute to the anything such things, but to make our country to worth protected, right? So この国を守るにたる国にすることには役立ちます。他のいろんな芸術と同じように。
Right.
多分そのこういう実験をやってる人っていうのは特に国際実験でいろんな国の人と一緒に実験やってる人っていうのはそういうのをみんな考えてると思います。もちろん。
Sorry, are you guys creating little black holes?
If you say that is a little black hole, yes. But that black hole is very tiny and it evaporates, you know, very quickly.
Because
so it doesn't matter.
People,
Dan Brown
used to be quite afraid of this.
Yeah, I was one of those people.
Actually, it happened in the LHC. They officially announced that it's not so dangerous. After the Dan Brown's Tenshi to Akuma movie.
Right.
So that is a movie that they steal some tiny black holes from the, you know, accelerators in LHC.
Yeah.
And so, you know, some people are affected by that movie maybe.
Yeah.
And they start to quite afraid of the such things.
Yeah. And people were afraid that you would just create a tear in like space-time and it would just rip, everything gets sucked into it and the planet just implodes.
So the reason why we call it the small black hole is that we are shooting the particles and antiparticles, so they just annihilate.
Right.
So only the energy is given to the vacuum. So we call that state as a mini black hole. But the energy is not so large. So that such small black hole, maybe.
Right.
So the black hole can be evaporated very soon, and it doesn't.
Ah, そういうことか.
And it creates some heavier particles, which we are interested in. So in our case, in our accelerator, it's a so-called B meson. So B, so it includes the one of the six quarks, so-called B quark, and that's it, and nothing happens.
なんかね、そうブラックホール作るっていうとなんかこの浮いたなんか穴みたいな。
It doesn't sound safe. That's
yeah,
for sure.
Yeah. It sounds scary if you don't know anything.
Yeah. So are you quite familiar with black holes or like what black holes are? Because black holes, like I remember there was a time where we weren't sure if black holes were real. Like people talk about black holes, but it was kind of, it almost sounded like pseudoscience. Like a black hole, like that sounds ridiculous.
I read some articles saying that when the, you know, black hole was first, you know, they answered that it proposed, some other researchers attacked them.
Yeah.
Because it sounds crazy, right?
It sounds crazy, yeah.
But, so what? So a black hole, is it featureless? Like there's no texture, right? There's no, it doesn't have any.
So
properties.
You know, we call, you know, our accelerator as making the black holes, but I'm not quite so familiar with the black holes in the space.
Huh.
But my understanding is that we call some star or some star which has quite heavy mass, but the radius is so small, we call such things as a black hole. So, and we theoretically develop, you know, some features of some black holes, theoretically, and also we observe some events of such, you know, black holes. but I don't know nothing about this texture of the black hole.
Well, like it's not like a star, right? I mean, it's like it used to be a star.
Mm-hmm, yep.
So like stars collapse into black holes, because or if they don't have enough mass, they become like a dwarf star, white dwarf.
Yeah, yeah.
Wait, so bear with me. So you said that you can create tiny black hole by colliding two particles, right? And then when that happens, black hole is formed, and then it diminishes quickly because the particle is so small.
Mm-hmm.
So,
I'd like to just say that we give some energy, which was initially carried by those two beams, and to the vacuum.
Right.
And then that energy is converted to the two particle pairs. So, which carries some energy and some mass. So we initially shoot a very light particles,
okay,
electron positron, but created particles are much heavier.
Right.
So it's kind of the, Benkin jutsu.
Right?
So how do you say alchemy?
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 Alchemy.
Alchemy. So we can change the particle species by, accelerating the light particle and shoot them each other, and then we can create much heavier particles.
Are there similarities between particles and black holes themselves? Like, because my understanding is that a black hole, you can describe it with like mass, spin. I don't know about charge, but
I don't know either.
Maybe. but black holes seem like a huge particle in some ways to me.
Yeah, maybe.
Those particles are sort of featureless as well, right? Like, doesn't a black hole just seem like a giant...
Is it a particle?
Particle.
No, he said that. can we treat them as a particle?
Yeah, why are they so similar? A black hole and a particle seem really similar to me. Maybe they're not that similar, but there are some weird similarities between like the structure of an atom and the solar system, for example. So is it possible that the black hole, going on the same line of thinking, is sort of like a gigantic particle? Because a particle, we don't really think of having characteristics itself beyond spin, charge, mass, right? But a black hole sort of is the same way. It's not like a planet. It's not like a sun. It doesn't have a structure. Mm-hmm. The amount of complexity in a black hole is almost non-existent, right?
It seems to me it's quite an interesting idea to characterize large star or black hole with some limited number of the parameters. And actually, we do the same similar things for the definition of the temperature, right? For example, so that if something is hot, which means that some vibration of the atoms inside that thing is much more
active,
right?
Yeah.
But so if you're looking at each atoms, it just going the other directions, but we just characterize its temperature as some activity.
The average
of the activity. We could characterize black hole as like it's a particle. It's interesting.
Humongous particle.
Yeah. Totally unscientific. I just notice. Yeah. It's a curious thing. But yeah, that temperature is weird because... something gets really cold and then it crystallizes. Mm-hmm. It stops moving, right? That's really like if you have a hot knife and you are cutting butter, some butter.
Mm-hmm.
It's really easy.
Mm-hmm.
But if you have a cold knife, it's just rock.
Yep, yep.
It's completely. It's exactly the same thing. It's just butter, but the temperature completely changes its characteristics, and it's just like how much the atoms are moving around.
Right.
Stuff. You don't really think about that.
Yeah. It's also interesting that the ice melts if we give more pressure to the ice, right? That is why we can skate.
Right, right. Mm.
Yeah, so that is very interesting weird. Feature of the water mm. or ice. Yeah. So usually if you, you know, pressure them more, put, you know, if you give something more pressure, it gets, mm-hmm. you know, crystallized, right? Usually. Right, right. But mm. in case of the water, if you give some pressure, more pressure, it mm. melts, right?
逆なんだ。
逆なんですよ。That is why we can skate on that. なんで？
なんで？でもなんか分かれば分かるほど疑問がさらに湧いてくるじゃないですか。そうですね。なんか頭おかしくなりそうになりません？
Yeah, water is weird because you cool it down and it gets denser and denser and then it crystallizes and it becomes much less dense again. So it's this yes. kind of a weird
flow.
Way.
That is what happened in case of the ice. Yeah. Mm.
Yeah, and you always point out how water is transparent and say like, you know, we don't know if it's actually transparent or it's just transparent to our eyes. Mm-hmm.
I don't know if that idea makes sense, but yeah, I say it.
Yeah, but that really like that really messes with me too. It's because once you start thinking about these things, it's like, wait, what? You know? It's, and I'm sometimes I'm just like staring at water, like what? What is this? I thought I knew this, but I guess
it's
I don't.
It's so clear. Yeah. It's so clean. Mm-hmm. It, yeah. Water is just like a such a. Oddly, it's like we have, you know, this idea of like elements, water, mm-hmm. fire, mm-hmm. earth, wind, lightning, you know, these are like ancient concepts, you know, it's like water is that special.
Yeah. So actually it's how to see the particle, you know, elementary particle is kind of related things. So if we collide two, you know, light particles, we can generate the two heavier particles. Mm. And that scattered into the much lighter several particles. And okay. we need to catch them by our detector, huge detector. But how we can know that, you know, those particles are passing through our detector?
Oh.
So, yeah, that is not an easy question, right?
そうだ、そっか。
So we have developed special techniques to combat the... those signal, I mean that those particles which comes out from the interaction point to either of the light or electronic signal, right? So then electronic signal can be digitized and we can store them as the data.
Okay.
And if such, you know, emitted particles can emit some light, then we can have some dedicated light sensor
which
converts light to the light to the electronic signal,
right?
And then we can store them as a data,
right? Right. Yeah.
So the such, you know, photon sensor we call them is also quite important devices for us,
right?
So sometimes the light emitted from such particles are so weak, so we need, you know, quite sensitive photon sensors, right? So we
developed.
Yeah. Actually, that is the one of the sensors. Most important sensors for the Kamiokande.
Okay.
To detect the neutrino.
Right. Mm.
So how sensitive those detectors? So we can detect flash light in the moon from the Earth. Yeah.
すごい。めっちゃ遠い。
So if the light is getting weaker and weaker and weaker, it becomes a particle. So there is some, you know, smallest amount of the light. So that is a single photon. So we can detect such weak signals by our photon sensors.
The limits of measurement is a really interesting issue recently. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And like with the LIGO detectors, the resolution.
Yeah, 10 to the 20s or whatever.
It's 1 in 10,000th. The width of a proton or something like that. It's something ridiculous like that.
So yes.
It's like the smallest perceivable change. Mm-hmm. Like just measuring things so precisely is the difference between knowing and not knowing.
だからそのさっきの重力波のニュースを書くときにどうやって言えばいい、なんかその10万分の1の幅で その鏡が動きましたみたいな、そのちっちゃすぎてどういうことみたいな。 But that proves everything, right? That it actually happened.
Yep.
Which is it's so hard to wrap my head around it because it's just so tiny.
So really high speeds are weird too. The speed limit of light is a bizarre thing. What's that all about? Like why?
So it's so counter our, you know, it's so, you know, that theoretically, you know, it's quite strange to assume that the right of the speed is not, you know, fixed, because, you know, if you are riding on a very fast train and if you shoot some light to you, you know, then if you're looking at from the outside of the train and the right speed of light can just increase infinitely, it just, you know, it just crafts. So the theoretically it's quite natural to introduce such, you know, such hypothesis that the light of the speed is, you know, always the same.
Yeah, that, it's, but sound it's, is completely different.
Yes. Yeah.
So it's like, because sound requires a medium, right?
Yep.
But light doesn't require any medium, right?
That's why light is special.
Yeah.
Light is pretty special.
Right? So, I always had this feeling like light is different from other stuff.
So, well, imagine if there was no light in the universe. It would be pretty...
grim.
I think the relativity theory is a good example of how we rewrite the existing theory to the new one, right? So if we are looking at daily life, the Newtonian laws are quite quite valid.
Right.
And that if you are looking at quite fast things, then Newton's law does not work properly, and we have to use the Einstein's theory, right? So it has already happened in a GPS satellite. Because GPS satellites are rotating around us,
right?
And it's quite fast. So we have to take into such effect from the Einstein's theory. Otherwise, our GPS doesn't work properly. So like this. So the current theory is just the best hypothesis. And if you are looking into the more extreme condition, you might find something different, some different theory, right? So the discovery of new theory means that some discrepancy of the observation, experimental observation, and the existing theory. So it is very important to have a very sensitive experiment, as you talked about the LIGO. And one more thing which seems to be difficult to understand is that we need many sample data. So that is also very important to, really justify the new theory. Because if the number of the data sample is so small, we cannot say any strong things, right?
Right.
So if you are doing some, market research or whatever, so if you are asking something to the 10,000 people, it's much better than asking only 10 people, right?
Right, right.
So we need a great number of the samples to say something very concrete, right? So that is why we use the accelerator, and we artificially make some particles, and we want to have more particles, right? As I said, our brand new accelerator can generate 40 times more particles. So if we can have much more particles, much more data samples, we can say more strong things. So maybe so far we cannot distinguish some new theory and old theory, but with more data, we can distinguish, those two. And we can say, okay, this new theory should be the right one. And the old theory should be, should be upgraded.
Right.
Yeah. It's quite, interesting.
Do you have a goal that you would like to achieve in the career, or is there something that you're aiming at or hoping for? Or
so, for the short term, I want to, make our accelerator and the detector running properly, but I don't know. So I'm very happy if I can contribute to the any great discovery in this project and also some possible next experiment. Yeah.
Do you think we're going to figure all this stuff out before we're dead?
I don't know.
Probably not.
You know, we are planning to build some new detector, you know, in 40 years after now, something like that. So,
so not a lot of
yes. We have plans.
I guess it takes a lot of planning. Yeah.
But these discoveries, like, is it, it? I assume that it's accelerating. Is it? Like, we know more and more faster and faster, or with the technology?
It seems like everything's accelerating.
But actually, the accelerator gets bigger and bigger. So building a new detector gets more difficult these days, right? So, you know, the physics researcher want to build the new ones.
Right.
Although it is, you know, very, you know, expensive.
Mm.
But we have to, you know, discuss well with the other society, I guess.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So the, you know, we don't know, you know, we cannot say which is more important for the short term and the long term.
Right.
You know, that cannot be decided only by the scientist, right? So maybe if we can use this money to the other purposes, it's better or not. That can kind of thing should be discussed among the society.
Right, right.
So I think that is why, you know, those elementary particle physicists are now, you know, approaching to the society, I guess. They are more open, more reachable. So the one thing I would like to ask those listeners to the podcast is that please ask many questions to those researchers.
Right, right.
Even though it could be some rude, you know, kind of rude question, right? Why we don't need this or such kind of thing. But we should
is
answer.
It dangerous?
Right, right, right.
Is it a weapon?
でも高井さんも言ってたよね。その、やっぱり予算を確保するっていう意味では、はい、その普通の人にも何が起きてるか分かっていてほしいっていう。
で、まあ、特にこういう基礎的な科学で難しいのは、やっぱりその短期間でその何かその身の回りに変化が起こるようなものではないわけじゃないですか。でそういう意味でやっぱりその iPS 細胞でなんか病気がなるとか言った方がすごく分かりやすいんですけど、まあ、ただ忘れてはいけないのはこういうことをそのすごく基礎的な科学をちゃんと続けていくことでこうどっかのところで大きなブレイクスルーがやっぱりできるんですよね。でこういうのをもう完全にやめちゃうとも絶対そういうことは起こらないわけ
です。そうですよね。
だからそのなんかいいバランスをまあ常に探しながらその基礎的な科学がその応用科学になってそれがブレイクスルーになってそれがまたあの新しい実験をするためのテクノロジーになるっていう、そういうこうなんていうかね、バーチャスサイクルっていうんですかね、好循環を、まあ、どっかでも完全に断ち切ってしまうっていうのはやっぱりやってはいけないと思います。
そうですよね。I think it's these particle accelerators are one of the most important areas, like by far, because and my reasoning for this is that the answers are going to be found at the edges of reality.
Yes,
it means the smallest scales, the largest scale. Like you have to look in peculiar areas and do peculiar things to test reality and to really push it and to get it to to tell you what's happening.
Yeah, that is an area which was not tested, you know, so far, and that is an area where the old theory and the new theory has more discrepancy. Yeah, so we want to do some test in the area which has not tested yet.
Right, right. その素粒子の分野でこの国が特に進んでいるとかってあるんですか？
あ、でもやっぱり日本はすごく進んでると思います。そのこの実験もやっぱり日本でやってますし、あとまあアメリカ、ヨーロッパはまあすごく強いですけど、
その日本でそれが発展した背景っていうか、
そうですね、やっぱりその理論の先生がかなりなんですかね、すごく大きな成果を上げていて、その素粒子モデルの構築にかなりまあ大きな寄与をしている関係もあって、まあ、だからそういう意味ではその日本人が考えた理論を日本の実験で検証して出したらしいっていうふうにやろうっていう機運はやっぱりあったんだと思います。
そうか。
実際それで成功してノーベル賞につながったわけなんですけど。
Do you think, that's kind of a weird question.
Yeah.
What do you think of the idea that quantum indeterminacy is, or how should I say this, that free will in human beings is somehow an emergent phenomenon of quantum indeterminacy. Mm-hmm. That indeterminacy at the quantum level is what's being expressed in free will. Mm-hmm. Do you find that credible at all? Like, what do you think about that idea?
So the, you know, before the quantum theory, so yeah. If there's some demon who knows everything in this world, that devil is believed to be able to, you know, predict anything happening in the future.
Mm. Right.
But actually there's some, you know, quantum, you know, uncertainty.
Right.
So we can only predict the future by some probability, right?
Mm.
And human will is kind of different question, right? So human will is also, what's happening inside your brain.
Mm-hmm.
So it also follows some physics law, should be.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So that one thing I can say from the, you know, this quantum theory is that the future is not, you know, fixed, right?
Hmm.
So future is only the probability.
If the future is not fixed,
yep.
Then that makes human life a lot more significant because we think and we make decisions, right?
Okay.
Because a lot of other things are so predictable.
Mm-hmm.
Like we can predict, like even the gravity waves, we predicted what the signal should look like almost exactly.
Yeah, so if
we know when the sun's going to come up. We know like... This stuff is
so
pretty...
So if it comes to, you know, the daily life in a macroscopic way, so it's more easy to predict than the predicting the behavior of the tiny particles.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So you know, if you go to the very bottom of the, you know, basic rules, you know, future is not decided. Yeah, so you cannot predict the, you know, one person's, you know, behavior, but if it goes to the, you know, behavior of the large people, large group of people, it's more easy to predict, right? Yeah.
Right. Yeah.
Like, I know if I drive around at 5 o'clock, 5 p.m., there's going to be traffic.
Mm-hmm.
I know what the... but I can't pick one person and know if they're going to be driving.
Yeah.
You know?
It's just a matter of complexity. Like, are particles are never unpredictable, are they?
Or we can predict only by some probability.
Oh, even particles.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, there's indeterminacy at the quantum level, right?
Yes. Yep.
And there's like the spin of a particle will be decided after we observe some entangled particles.
That is also another thing, yeah.
Yeah. So what...
Oh yeah, that's so weird.
So the observer.
Yeah, if
it's
something,
principle.
We change something. Yeah, so we cannot be a complete observer.
Right.
Yeah,
we're somehow involved, and no one knows how.
Yeah. So what is the observer effect exactly? Like what is?
So if we see something, which means that so for example, if we shoot some light to some material. Then it changes that target material.
Right? Is it the light that's causing this?
Or, you know, whatever. So if we see something, which means that something is, you know, arriving to you.
Does it have to be a person? What if the computer just measures it and nobody ever looks at the computer?
No. So as I said, you know, to detect the particles coming out from our collision accelerator, so we need to have some sensors and make it, you know, recordable data, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So we need some interaction with that, you know, target material we observe. You know, otherwise, you know, we cannot know anything about what we are looking at. So
So is it like being seen is something?
Yeah.
Like like the state of being watched.
Yeah.
Is something
like
being shot with light.
Yeah.
So but do we know what exactly is causing this, when this observer effect where the particle takes on a particular spin or whatever when you observe it, or that determines the spin of its entangled particle, right?
You're talking about
so
EPR paradox, you mean?
Well, yeah, I think, yeah, that's, I think that's related.
It's just more simple, you know, so the we cannot observe things without, you know, disturbing the system. So that's a very simple thing, right?
Yeah.
So it's like, even if we think that we're not disturbing it, it is being disturbed.
So if we get some information from something, we are disturbing the system. So the...
I'm like, oh, okay.
But it doesn't happen to even in our experimental, you know, experiment, even in case of our experiment. So it's, you know, matter of the much theoretical or...
So before we were talking about atoms being the smallest unit, like is the most basic thing, the most fundamental thing in the universe, is it information? Is it matter? Is it something else? Is information the most fundamental thing?
It's quite interesting question.
Like, how should you measure anything in the universe? Is it, it's, the amount of information that that is contained in its organization, you know, so something, if a thing is there, it has some level of organization, right? And so like if we went to Mars and you find a rock and then you walk a few more steps and you find a brain, it's like, what is this thing? And if people went back and analyzed this brain, like, this thing is so complex. It's so complex. It has... you know, millions and millions of neurons and connections and synapses and all this stuff going on in such a small object, we can sort of quantify that complexity, right?
You're talking about the entropy?
Yeah, it's related to entropy, so, you know, just to try to get some some way to understand, you know, what's at the most fundamental levels of the universe. Is it just... organization? Yeah.
It's quite, you know, 哲学的 question to ask, because, you know, we just measure the, you know, things and we, you know, treat the information not as things we, you know, work with.
Yeah.
But it's quite an interesting question, I guess.
It becomes really information-like, though, at the quantum level, right? It's very data-like, to me, it seems. Like a computer, you know, ones and zeros, like you describe these particles in those sort of basic terms with, you know, spin, charge, mass, or whatever. It's kind of digital-ish.
Yeah. Right? Discreteness, yeah.
Yeah.
It is pretty digital.
Right?
It feels like.
Yeah. So there are some science fiction, you know, novels that some one computer reproduce everything in this universe in that computer.
It's possible,
Yeah, but that computer is in our universe, so it's kind of...
But our universe might be in another computer, so...
Yeah, maybe.
Why not? Because there's no reason why we couldn't make this planet in a computer, right? Like, we could eventually contain... Like, there's a fixed number of, there's a fixed amount of information that this planet has, right? That's a finite number. So you could eventually put that into a computer, right? So if you just keep doing that, you know, you create.
Yeah.
Like, what's the difference? If all the information's there, what's the difference, really? Right?
That's funny. It's like, do we still have to live it if we... had all the answers? Like, if we had all the information.
Wait, do we still have to live?
Do we? I don't know.
So can I go back to the, you know, one topics which I bring here?
Yes,
so,
please.
So I want to talk about how you define the left and right.
Okay. Interesting.
Yeah. So, do you have some dictionary here, or the
how I define left and right?
Or, you know, do you have any idea how the left and right is defined in dictionary, Japanese dictionary, for example?
I have no idea.
Well, I know they're opposites.
Yeah, but for example, the
確かに
how the right is defined、 右はどう定義されてるか。
確かに
I'm not sure. It's kind of an instinctual、
mm-hmm.
What does it say in the dictionary?
So I went to the bookstore and checked several dictionariesAnd okay. some says that it's, you know, 右 is opposite of the 左. And 左 is opposite of the 右.
でも分かりやすい。
でも知らなかったら答えが得られないじゃん。永久に。
It's kind of tautology.
そうだ
ね。Some other things, other dictionary says that if you are heading to the north,、
mm-hmm.
the east is on your left side,、on your right side.
そっかそっか。
That is, you know, as long as you share thedirection、
mm. right
yeah. yeah. as long as you're on the surface of the earth
yeah you have the same definition of the、you know north, if you're and,
if you're traveling through the center of the earth、
mm-hmm.
that's not true anymore
yes that's why、
mm. and その段階で右と左分かんない人いたら大変だけどね
and the other interesting definition is that、you're you know, holding the dictionary right by reading、mm. the dictionary、
ah.
and all the pageof this dictionary is on your right side.
Ah, 分かりやすい。
And even pages.
ね。
He's like a smart ass.
Smart ass, yeah, 本当。
But so let's you know go on this way so that those definition needs some common cultural background,、
mm.
right?
Mm.
So it might you know vary within the you know, civilized people, but、if you are talking to the 宇宙人、
mm.
for example.Which they have completely different cultural background. So how we can you know, communicate? How we can define the right?、
Mm.
Right. So if, imagine if there's some dictionary which is used among the 宇宙人たち、
mm.
you know, those 宇宙人たち has、mm. different cultural background. So、
right.
how the, you know, such dictionary should define the left and right?
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
That is a very interesting question, right?
Alien dictionaries.
Yeah.
Alien dictionaries.
If you had one of those, it would、yeah. be worth so much money.
like, yeah, but actually, we can define.、
Hmm.
We can define, which、hmm. is valid for all the aliens.、
Hmm.
So what is you know, common all over the universe? The culture is not common in all、
right.
in places. But there's one thing which is common in anywhere. So that is the physics law.
Mm-hmm.
Right. So if we can determine the, we can define the left and right from the physics、
mm.
events,、mm. right? So that can be reproduced anywhere in the universe.
Right.
So the、mm. alien can know which is left and which is right. Right. So let's say the, so if you, so if you have some pen, do you have some pen?
I don't.
No.
There's zero pen on the table. Yeah, he has
so
one.
So hold the pen, right? Hold the pen and write something, yeah? So if I take the picture of Michael holding、mm-hmm. the pen in the right hand,
yeah.
And so if I put this picture and the flipped picture, right?、
Mm-hmm.
Left hand, flipped picture. So can we tell which is the original one and which is the flipped one?
No.
No.
But we know that the Michael is right-handed.
Right.
So then the, you know, we can tell the original、right. one and the flipped one because he's holding the pen.
Ah, right, because right we know
yeah,
him.
Yeah.
Okay.
Right?
Yeah.
Yeah. Because we know him,、
mm-hmm.
he is right handed, so we can tell the difference.
Right.
But even if we didn't know me,、mm-hmm. you could make a probabilistic
yes,
assumption.
That's also true, yeah.
yeah,
because there is more right handed people.、
Mm-hmm.
But there is some people who is both handed, right?
Right.
In such case, we can tell.You know, which picture is, which photo is original and which is flipped version?、
Mm-hmm.
We can't, right? So the, if Michael is not symmetric, like right-handed, we can tell the difference. But、mm. if Michael is both-handed, so Michael is symmetric, we cannot tell the difference, right?
Right.
So it applies to the physics law. So if physics law is symmetric, we cannot tell the difference of the left and right.
Mm.
But if the physics law is not symmetric,、
oh.
we can define,、mm. right?、
Oh.
So that in the daily life, is it symmetric or not? So for example, if you were playing the billiard, snooker、mm. maybe, and the motion of the, those snooker balls are quite symmetric means that if you flip the, you know, mm. movie, which you shoot the movie, you know,
right.
movement of the balls, mm. and
right.
you flip that movie, you cannot tell the difference.
Right, right. Mm.
So the, in our daily life level, the physics law is quite symmetric.
Mm.
Right. Mm. So that has been believed for a long time.
Okay.
But we found some, you know, asymmetry in the physics law finally.
Yeah.
Yeah, and that also got the Nobel Prize in 1957.
Okay.
Yeah. So using the cobalt atom, and there is some beta ray coming up from the cobalt 60, and that direction of the cobalt of the beta rays has some asymmetric distribution.
Okay.
Mm.
So if we can, you know,
do we know why?
Yeah, we know why. Yeah. Huh. So that is related to some weak force, not you know, daily life force, but the weak force which is applies to the beta rays. So if we can ask the alien to do the similar experiment using the cobalt
right,
is
right.
a 27th, you know, lighter atom.
Mm.
So we can tell them the 27th one and measure the distribution of the beta ray coming out from the cobalt 60, and then we can, in principle, define the left and right.
Wow.
We've thought about these sorts of messages to aliens kind of that forces us to abandon our unique perspective,
mm.
you know, like when they put these gold plates on the Voyager spacecraft.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And so there's kind of universal mm-hmm. language
yep,
on
yep,
there.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. Using English doesn't make any sense.
No.
That would be silly.
Yeah.
So also the physics law is also some kind of the common language.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So that we can define and we can tell which is right and which is left.
Right.
Yeah. So this is a kind of, this is one example of the asymmetry mm-hmm. in the physics law, right?
Mm-hmm.
And there is another asymmetry or symmetry in the physics law. That is the matter and antimatter.
Mm.
So that it's charge asymmetry. As I said, that matter and antimatter has different opposite sign of the electronic charge. So we also believe that after we found the left and right asymmetry, we still believe that those matter antimatter asymmetry is matter antimatter symmetry is valid. But 1970s, so we also found asymmetry in matter and antimatter.
Hmm.
Oh.
So which could be a solution to the mystery that why, you know, at the beginning the both matter and matter and antimatter exist, but now we don't see any antimatters.
Hmm.
Right.
So this is also a very big discovery, and it also won the Nobel Prize in 1980.
Hmm.
Mm.
So this is actually what we are measuring in our accelerator in KK.
Okay.
So this any asymmetry at the beginning of the universe
mm-hmm.
would have to be the source
mm-hmm.
of everything that exists, right? Basically.
Yes, right now, yeah.
Yeah.
So
it's almost like if you could quantify what that asymmetry was
mm-hmm.
at the time,
mm-hmm.
you could use that to describe the universe before it happened in a way, right? To an alien, right? If they have the algorithms and the mm-hmm. the whatever,
yeah.
the technology to understand it,
mm-hmm.
then they can say like, oh, your universe had this asymmetry at the beginning,
mm-hmm.
so it must have developed into this type of universe
mm-hmm.
later on.
Yeah. I'm not sure we can talk to the alien in a different universe, but as I said,
not yet.
Yeah, as I said, but around us, we mm. only see the matters, but mm. maybe somewhere very far from us,
mm.
there might be a world which is made of the antimatter,
mm.
right?
Mm.
So maybe if we are talking to the aliens about these kind of things, maybe they are living in the antimatter world, mm-hmm. right? In that
yeah.
case, we can also distinguish those aliens mm-hmm. is coming from the matter world or antimatter world because we have the asymmetry
right.
between the matter and antimatter.
Right.
right. So if we ask them to build the same accelerator we have in KK,
right.
and do the same experiment, and then we can tell which
right.
is which. Yeah.
if they're antimatter, then we probably shouldn't meet, right?
Yeah. So if we, you know, if
we meet,
if you see the, you know, aliens from the antimatter world and we shake hands, then we disappear. We just explode.
Yeah.
But it almost seems like that's the point of the universe in a way. Mm-hmm. You know, for it to sort of.
Yeah. So at the very early stage of the universe, it's very hot. Mm-hmm. So that, you know, many matter and antimatter are created, and then they annihilate and then again created. But now we have, our universe has been cooled down, so that some asymmetry has, you know, remained in our world.
So this idea of entropy and organization. These trends are well accepted in the scientific community. Like the universe was very simple and gradually is becoming more and more complex. Mm-hmm. And we're sort of the pinnacle of this complexity that the universe is doing. Like we are, like you are, and your accelerator thing is super complex, right? So in a way, that's what the universe does, is become more organized. And consciousness sort of is opposite entropy in the sense that it propels this. Mm-hmm. And we're motivated to do this, whether it's because, you know, you want a BMW or whatever. We inherently can't stop making more complicated iPhones and stuff, right? Mm-hmm. Like, why should there be this trend?
Mm. That's quite an interesting question. Why?
You also talk about, along with this complexity thing, you also sometimes talk about like how things keep getting smaller and smaller, right? Yeah, like computer and phones, and we have that kind of urge to make things smaller.
Yeah. Well, we counter entropy by putting more organization smaller using less energy.
So I think it comes to the one more asymmetry, the time asymmetry, T asymmetry. So if you know, how to say, gyakusaisei of the movie of the some, you know, motion. So for the daily life level, we can distinguish the, you know, the normal movie and the reversed movie, right? But we could have some, you know, difference. Because, you know, our universe has been developed in this way, and we cannot do the experiment for the inverse time manner. But so I think, you know, and looking for the so-called CP violation, so the charge parity and the charge and parity symmetry is closely related to the, you know, investigating on this time asymmetry. So it could be, have some, you know, insight on that question, I guess.
Yeah, why should the cause of something happen before it?
Causality.
Yeah, why is the direction of, does time have a direction, right? So what if instead of a Big Bang, and then everything sort of unfolding from there, what if there is an attractor at the end of time? That sort of pulls everything towards it instead. Like, does that make any sense?
Yeah, I think, you know, that is related to the, you know, universe expansion speed things, right? So that is related to the dark energy. So the...
Sounds like some Star Wars shit.
Yeah. Dark matter and dark energy is quite, you know, interesting and very popular in the scientific world. Scientific, you know, fictions. And you know, sometimes dark has, you know, been attributed to the very vicious image.
Right.
I remember that when I was a small kid, was, you know, I was collecting the Vikriman shield. And there was the, you know, dark hero, you know, dark matter, which is Warumono.
Okay.
So I got very strong impression of that. But but originally, the dark means that invisible. Right. So the dark energy and the dark matter is just the matter which is invisible and which has not been detected.
It's so true, though. Like even we do the same thing that particles do with characters.
Yeah, yeah,
you know?
Yeah.
We have like like Luigi and Waluigi, you know, like we have the particle and the anti-part, like we
yin and yang. Mm-hmm.
We operate in this dualistic way.
Yeah.
So we are generating. So in our accelerator, we are generating the heavy quark, which is the V quark. So the people call it bottom quark, but some people don't like this name, and some people call it beauty particle.
Beauty particle.
Beauty particle.
Yeah. Yeah, actually, our experiment is named after this beauty, and our experiment is named Belle, and that is a beauty in French world.
Right.
Yeah, yeah. It's more romantic, I guess.
It is pretty romantic.
Yeah. Romantic than bottom.
確かに.
Yeah, it's a counterpart of the top quark, top and bottom. But beauty is more romantic. Name,
it is romantic, all of this, I think.
Yeah, for sure.
It's extremely grandiose.
Mm.
Grandiose?
Just extravagant. It's huge. It's tremendous. Mm. Like the, you know, if you discover something, there's no way that it's not a big deal.
Mm. Right.
Right?
Yeah, like whatever you discover, it's important. Right? It's not like, like これはどうでもいい.
I hope everyone can understand it. And, have share. You know, I hope you know we can share the dreams.
Yeah. Well, there's so many of these colliders and so many people working on this stuff, but it's not that mainstream. It's not mainstream in the media and pop culture. It's you know the it's not.
What's the demography though? Like, is it? Do you have a lot of young people, or is it? Do you have a lot of older people?
So the experience from the past accelerator is quite important.
Okay.
So we have many experienced people, and also we have many young people, because they're building something need young powers. Right.
Right.
So the demography is quite flat.
Okay. Yeah.
How is your English so good?
Yeah.
So good, though. Really? Yeah. Thank you. So usually, we discuss in English.
Oh.
So even though we are discussing within the Japanese colleagues, so we prepare the slides, PowerPoint slides in English, because that can be reused for another discussion with foreign colleagues. Yeah.
確かに。で、日本語でやっちゃうとまた後で英語に訳さないといけないとかなりますもんね。
だから議論は日本語でしても、そのスライドだけは英語で作ったりとか、そういうことはよくやりますね。
あ、そうか。
So you use English all the time?
Basically, yes.
Do you use it just casually at work, at the water cooler, or like
lunch とか?
On the elevator, you and a Japanese colleague are speaking in English.
I'm not speaking to the Japanese colleagues with English, but now, we are building the detector. So usually all the collaborators are, in their institute, but now we have many visitors in our lab to start up.
Right? Oh, so they're actually in Japan.
Yeah, so they're actually in Japan. Yeah, it's a pity for the other, people who should, stay here for a long time, apart from their family.
Right.
But,
Okay.
Yeah, so yesterday I talked to the French guy and a guy from Hawaii, from India. Yeah.
Is it mostly men?
Not exactly. So in Japan, unfortunately, the ratio of the female researcher is not so high, but in the States or in European countries, there's many female researchers.
Okay.
Actually, the new director general of the CERN, the LSC lab, is a female, Italian female.
Mm. Okay. そっか。日本の女の子。
It seemed like there's a lot of females or women working on the LIGO project as well. At the press conference or whatever. Mm-hmm. Just some lady is just explaining shit that I don't understand.
So you meet all these colleagues from all over the world, and then do you feel the cultural difference in the same field?
Yeah. So that is, I think, the most difficult and exciting things to do this kind of international collaboration.
Right.
And they have different attitude to the work, and also they have different, way of thinking.
Right.
Yeah. So we cannot, force our way to them. Yeah,
right.
Does it rub off? Does it change you too?
Yes. Yeah.
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 How so?
So, yeah, it changes me, my way of the working. Yeah.
Like, how did it change?
So the, how to say, so...
He puts his feet up on the desk now.
Yeah, it's quite difficult to say, but... So, for example, the I cannot, you know, I can't force them to work, right?
Right.
I try my best to motivate them.
Right.
Right. So I think I found out finally that that is the best way to make it, you know, go smoother.
Ah, やりなさいやりなさいっていうよりもモチベーションを上げるっていう。
And also the communication to the, you know, professors, you know, the great guys, is the way of the communication to the, those great guys are quite different from the, you know, Japanese 偉い人 and the foreign 偉い人. So they just go down to our desk and discuss many things they do. Yeah, I think, you know, that our colleagues in my lab is also such kind of things, such kind of people.
Okay.
But at first I expected that, you know, those 偉い人は偉い人.
Ah, なんかみんなとはあんまり mingle しないみたいな。So Japanese professors are like that? I mean,
no, no,
they don't...
That was my prejudice before.
Ah, okay,
before
okay, but it wasn't like...
Yeah.
Ah, okay, okay, okay.
Yeah, like, 白い巨頭.
Right, right. 怖い
image. Yeah, yeah. But actually, they just go down to us, young people, and they discuss a lot. And
right.
They treat us as a, you know, colleague.
Right, right. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Not as subordinates. Mm-hmm.
As long as you, you know, you have some interesting results.
Right.
You know, they can be patient, even though your English is not so good.
Right, right, yeah. Right.
So that is quite, yeah, great experience.
More of a, like a horizontal structure.
Horizontal? Ah, yeah, that's why, yeah. So the, talking about that horizontal structure, so the, I think in other field, the author list of the paper, and who gonna be the first author is you know, great concern. Right? but we are more than, you know, 500 and 600 people, and it's quite difficult to determine who should be the first one.
Right.
Right? So the, usually we just, you know, list them alphabetically. Right. So do you think who can be the first author in that case, alphabetically? Can you come up with a family name which comes first? Actually, the Japanese guy.
Japanese guy? Aida? Aida-san?
Aida.
But Aida, right? Abe?
Abe?
Yes!
So if you're looking at our you know, paper list, the Abe-san is showing.
So, lucky name! そうか、え、それで喧嘩になったりするチームも行ったりするんですか、なんか。
どうなんでしょうね、それはもう結構長いトラディションですけど、もしかしたらもっと少人数で、あの、だったらいろいろコントラバーシャルかもしれないです
。If your last name is Abe, you should go into this
field.
Yeah, これ聞いてる中学生とかで。
100 years from now, everyone in particle physics is named Abe.
Abe, Abe, Abe. そっか。なんかこう、cultural difference っていうか、なんか、この間 JAXA がなんかロケットの打ち上げに成功しましたって言って、その、はい、わーって拍手してるところを撮ってるんだけど、なんか NASA との違いがすごい見えるというか、なんかこう、JAXA の方がすごいかっちりしてるっていうか、真面目っぽくて、ね、みんななんかあの、青いこう、作業着みたいなのを着て、あの、まっすぐ立って拍手してるみたいな。で、偉い人がスーツ着て、あの、握手し合ってるみたいな。で、NASA だともうちょっとなんかこう、
Did you see
モヒカンの人とかね。
The SpaceX one, when they landed the reusable rocket, if you watch that video, the crowd is crazy. もうこんな感じ。
超エモーショナルだよね。
They're jumping on each other.
So as I said, we just started the test operation of the new accelerator. So the, you know, make it fast turn, you know, it's a great concern, right?
Right, right.
So I was... luckily in the control room at the time when we saw the first turns.
Right.
I expected that, you know, everyone is, you know, shouting crazy
like
that. But they are just okay. But that is because, you know, they know that, you know, we have more difficult challenges after
that.
Right?
まだ安心してる場合じゃないみたいな。
So they are talented, they are experienced people. so that they know, you know, they're going to be a new challenge. But I was only the guy.
But that's even, that makes it even more important to celebrate, I feel like. Because you have more difficult challenges, but you can just celebrate every time.
そうだね。そうだよね。とりあえず今喜ばして。
終わらないじゃん。
確かに。一生喜ぶ機会がやってくる。
We definitely celebrate, I guess, the first event, you know, first version event, you know, which is seen by our detector, right?
Right.
That is a great milestone, I guess.
Okay.
Which is, which comes maybe in 1 year or 2 year. Yeah.
Crazy party?
Maybe. Actually, we, you know, when the previous accelerator was operating, when we reached some, you know, ちょうどいい data set amount, we celebrate them and we buy a big champagne bottle.
Nice.
And which is, you know, listed every time we achieve the, you know, several hundred, you know, data samples.
Right, and, right.
We celebrate them and we buy a big champagne.
That's nice.
Yeah.
So, なんかそういう人間っぽいところ、なんかこの間あの、I saw the movie Martian with
Martian?
What was his name? Matt Damon. Mm-hmm. Matt Damon movie. And then that movie was praised for one of a lot of things, but one thing was that they showed the emotional side of the scientists. Like, the, you know, scientists are not robots. They have emotions and feelings and, you know, stuff like that. And I think... until recently in space movies and stuff, when they show scientists, they're all like, they're wearing lab coats and glasses and they're always super laissez, you know.
So well, I there's think... the crazy scientist image too, where he has some weird goggles on and he's like pouring,
Back to the Future kind of.
Pouring potions.
Yeah, so it's either
the hair is crazy.
So it's really 両極端, right? Like super crazy psycho or, you know, really laissez a robot type of person. So I think it's finally kind of changing in the pop culture as well, that, you know, these are normal people too. Like,
I'm not sure, you know, the appearance is crazy or not, but I believe that everyone in this field has strong passion. Otherwise, we cannot keep working on this very challenging things.
Does everyone work long hours?
It depends, So since, you know, we are, you know, we have collaborators from each, you know, from every time zones. So as long as we can do the shifts remotely, we don't have to, you know, stay up late night.
Right, right.
But at the, you know, very early stage of the commissioning or whatever, so we have to stay longer. Yeah.
Exciting stuff.
Yeah.
What do you do, like, when you get to work? Like,
so...
How do you drive? Do you have parking? Like, do you...
parking, you mean?
Where do you drive there and you, like, park?
What do you mean?
At the
to go to work?
Yeah.
Ah, so I can't drive. I can't drive, so I have to, you know, use the five different public transportation from commuting from Tokyo to Tsukuba every day. It's really rare case, I guess.
でもそれも本当好きじゃないとできないですよね。だからもう。
そうですね。
Five different transportation だよ。つらい。
Yeah.
So when you get there, is there like does anything special go on, or do you just open the door and walk in, or is there like security and like
there is security,
all kinds of
so we have to slash some card and go to the experimental area and we talk to the guy who is working on the side and discuss something and negotiating with other groups and of course in the train I write many emails.
Right.
And, you know, print out the gravitational wave paper and discuss it with my colleague. And we do, you know, everything we need to, you know, do the experiment, right? So the, we have to, you know, also learn about some, you know, laws or holitsu or whatever. So we have to bring some item from the kaigai. Here, so we have to talk to the Zeikan Mo of course we got some, you know, great help from the administration office people, but we also have to take care of such kind of things. We do everything. We operate the crane wearing the helmet. We climb high up to the detectors and we do everything. Yeah.
すごいね。
where are you climbing to?
Climbing on the detector. It's 8 meters tall.
Oh, why do you have to go up there?
Because we have some, you know, we have to assemble some cables or whatever,
Who pushes the button? Yeah.
Oh, like, yeah.
Pushes the button. What is
like, like start the button, right? Like, 最後の go みたいな。
Yeah. Is it like two guys with like keys that they turn at the same time?
No. So, you know, we have to make it, you know, smoothly working at the same time. So many people are, you know, in front of the operation panel and they, you know, work together to make it running.
Yeah. Start the button.
There is some button to inject the beam.
Huh. So who presses that?
The people who is in charge of the... No. Just the, you know, people who is taking the shift at the time.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
But you can't just press it without telling anyone, right?
No.
There's like a... 好きな時に?
But like, there is a, you know, big red button to abort the beam.
Oh.
Right. Yeah. So no one should touch that.
確かに.
When might you need that button?
Yeah.
In case of some, you know, some dangerous situation that usually it should be taken care of by the interlock system. Yeah, but for the final result, there's some red button to,
Do you guys make sure that red button works?
Do you know if it works?
Of course, you know that. Yeah, many times. Yeah. The security is the most important thing for operating such huge experiment.
Right.
So we have, you know, two-fold, three-fold safety system. Yeah.
Wow. 8 meters. I mean, I saw pictures.
Yeah, I think I have the picture. And
you know, it's just a part of it, right? I mean, it has a lot of like stairs and everything around it, and it's just something that I've never seen before.
Yeah.
大人の社会科見学加速期編。あ、こういう本があるんだ。
It's old books.
すごい加速期に特化した本だ。
It has many pictures of us, you know, accelerator and also detector. So.
Photograph collection っていうのがあるよ。
Yep.
すごいなこれ。
So if you can visit our, you know, homepage or Twitter, Facebook account, we have launched a Facebook and Twitter account of our collaboration recently.
Okay.
So.
Facebook と Twitter の公式のアカウント、
あります。そこにはあのデイリーアップデート not daily but we have, you know, some nice photos or, you know, very interesting, you know, this event displays or whatever.
Is this thing earthquake proofed fairly rigorously?
Yep. So if we have some earthquake we shut down the beam immediately. Because the, you know, only the slight, you know, misalignment of the magnet can reach to the, you know, crazy beam, right?
Right.
So the, those magnets are, you know, measured, 測量されている, so precisely. So the, and we have, you know, about 1,000 magnets around the 3-kilometer rings. So the, it's quite, you know, precise experiment. So for the new accelerator, so we squeeze the beam so small before, just before the collision. So we make the denser beam, and that make it possible to get 40 times more than the world record. So the how small the target is it's about 15 nanometer after the 3-kilometer travel. So it's just like the sniping the coin in the moon from the Earth. Right. So yeah. It's quite, you know, sensitive experiment.
These are the cooled magnets, yeah? Are they cooled magnets?
Yes, there is superconductivity magnet. Yeah.
So besides that, 人件費とか置いといて、その一回これを走らせるためにものすごいお金ってかかるものなんですか？
やっぱりその電気代がどうしてもかかってしまっていて、まあだからそのアメリカの実験と、まあ前のその景気加速器っていうのはまあ常に競争してたんですけど、アメリカの人たちはこう年中ずっとデータ貯めてるんですけど、我々はその夏の電気消費量が多いときはお休みして、そういう契約をして、だから我々は夏になるとちょっとお休みとかいうことにな
る。そしたら夏休みになるんですか？
その間にやっぱりその装置はやっぱりある程度メンテナンスとか新しいものを取り替えたりとかしなきゃいけないので、別にその間が無駄になってるわけじゃないんですけど、まあその電気代っていうその縛りがあるので、我々はそういう、
こ
う、
How much is the electricity bill like per month, do you know?
It's quite expensive. So when you know the previous one was operating, mm-hmm. the power consumption is kind of comparable with the Disney Sea and Disneyland.
すごいね。
We need a huge power.
ディズニーシーとディズニーランド combined.
Combined, yeah.
What do you on the power issue? What do you think about fusion or like future generation, like nuclear reactors, or how do you feel about nuclear power in general?
So the nuclear fusion, I don't know anything about that, so the, I have no idea. And so I don't know. So it's related to the, you know, what I said about the, how to decide which kind of huge experiment mm-hmm. should be done using our, you know, our tax, right? So the after the earthquake, there has been a lot of discussion of, you know, what to do with those nuclear power plants, mm-hmm. right?
Mm.
And we are aiming at a better way to, you know, make a decision on mm-hmm. what to do, right?
Right.
So I think that can be kind of, you know, applied to make some decision on this kind of huge project, right? So I closely watching, you know, how the things are going on the nuclear power plants. Yeah.
So cool. Are there people or is there any organization or someone saying that this is not necessary or trying to minimize the scale or something?
Of course we try to make it in the best in the most efficient way.
Right.
Right. Yeah. So I don't know, so how to say. Of course if we build some huge detector, a huge machine, so it could use up other scientific budget,
right.
Yeah. So we need, of course, we need to make some agreement within the scientists
right.
from the many fields, and also we have to make some agreement also with the society as a whole to build a big accelerator. Things.
Well, I think not just between projects, but I think overall spending on these sorts of projects should be greater versus.
Yeah.
You know, some of the other crazy things that the government spends money on.
Right, exactly.
But having, you know, maybe people might think that we only have to have one experiment.
Mm.
But having more than two experiments is quite useful because we can cross-check each other and we can collaborate, right? But if the experiment gets so huge, it might be a controversial. But having two projects, you know, at the same time is usually very good. So like the Higgs discovery was done by both ATLAS collaboration and CMS collaboration.
Yeah.
We have the two different kind of detector in the in the same link.
Right.
So we can say more strong things about the new discovery.
It was like that with gravitational wave, right? Yeah. There were two.
Two, yeah. So LIGO also has two different sites. So and they compared the two data that are in a great coincidence in time.
Right.
We need three though.
Yeah. We need also additional ones to have more direction sensitivity to pin down which direction those black holes are.
Right.
I guess that is the Kajita-san is now working on that. Kagura.
So not. So many Japanese people.
Yeah.
So wait, you're English. So it just you got better on the job, or were you able to speak English before then? Or
I get better listening to the bilingual news.
Yay! Sendan.
Yeah, actually, I recommend this to the my young students, and also recommend this to the foreign people who is try to learn Japanese.
Yes, ありがとうございます.
So there's many listeners around me.
Yay! So 宣伝してないから口コミ頼みだからありがたいです.
Now, one important thing in culture is like what we care about or what we're interested in.
Yes.
It really sets the direction for, you know, what sort of things are going to be done or what kids are going to aspire to do. You know, so it's not, we think about, oh, we build this thing and what do we get out of it, or but so much of the benefit is the knowledge that we get, we teach it to young kids who mm-hmm. find it fascinating mm-hmm. and want to find out more. Mm-hmm. And so they get involved in this sort of thing. Yep. And I think that's, there are a lot of other things that you could be involved in life that just aren't as fulfilling or, mm-hmm. or, you know, just if you just turn on the television, mm-hmm. you'd think that the world is about to end. Like, just this is what everyone's watching right now. Like, okay. This is what's going on. Yeah. You know? So, I think it's important that stuff yeah. like this is more popular, and yeah. it's just, people just don't know, you mm. know, people aren't so exposed to it.
Yeah. So we are also reaching out to the younger generations. Mm. Like we, you know, visit some high school or even the primary school to give some lectures or, you know, presentation mm. or some doing experiment. And
that's awesome.
Yeah. It's quite interesting. Also, you know, to talking to those kids, you know,
right,
who has
right.
very, you know, yeah. you know, 目が輝いてる kids.
Yeah. If we all still felt like that mm-hmm. as adults, I mm-hmm. think stuff like this would get a lot more attention.
Yeah,
I think as people get older, the, yes, you know, yeah, so we the also, curiosity mm-hmm. kind of just, it's just everything's normal. Mm-hmm. This is all normal,
yeah.
you know.
Or just like get consumed by daily life, mm-hmm. right? Like make ends meet type of stuff. Like, oh, yeah. I can't just like worry about where we came from.
But you can mix those things, you know, you can, you know, listen to conversations like this mm-hmm. while you do your laundry, which mm-hmm. isn't that interesting, but, yeah. you know, those are, mm-hmm. you know, you can do both of those at the same time.
Yeah, yeah for sure.
So we are also open for the adults who is fascinated with these kind of things. Mm. So we have some, you know, photo contest. Mm-hmm. We invite some people to take our photos and we do some competition, for example.
Oh, cool. Mm.
And also we are trying to, you know, collaborate with artists, right?
Mm.
So for example, recently we have developed an Oculus Rift version of our detector display.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So we can see. So our German collaborators have developed, you know, 3D view of our detector and also the particles, which is, mm-hmm. you know, coming out from our detector. Mm-hmm. So by wearing the Oculus Rift, we can, you know, see the detector mm-hmm. even from the inside of the detector and see how the events are, you know, happening.
Yeah, yeah.
It's realistic.
It's realistic. Yeah, yeah. So it's.
Is it real? Is it slow motion? Or
I think we can change. So far, we don't have any new event yet, mm-hmm. but we have simulated lots of events in the simulation.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
So that can be seen in the, you know, 3D view. Mm-hmm. And once we, you know, have the data, we can also show the real data.
Right, right, right.
In such 3D view. And I'm also looking for some, you know, Japanese guy who helped us to develop a Hakosuko version of the such 3D view. You know, the Oculus Rift is so expensive. Mm.
Right, right, right. Yeah.
So if you, you know, some of you business.
誰か。
Yeah, please help us.
誰かできる人お願いします。
Is it... So we can simulate mm-hmm. these extreme events happening, right?
Yes, yeah.
Can you learn something from the simulation?
Yes.
Can you build the simulation,
yes.
then run it in virtual reality mm-hmm. and learn something new? Does that make sense?
Yes. Oh. Yes. So that we have to be prepared once we start to take the data.
Mm-hmm.
So using the simulated events, we develop many softwares or also even hardwares, mm-hmm. which is needed for the real, you know, your events, right?
Mm.
So we need a special condition to choose which event to take, which mm. event to record, and which event to be discarded.
Right. Right?
So we cannot record all the events, mm. so we
right.
have to select them, right?
Right.
So we have to select only the interesting events. So we have to, you know, develop some softwares to do that by, you know, using the great amount of the simulated data. And so making such, you know, huge data simulation and also make some analysis with the real data. So we need a huge CPU powers.
Mm.
So we are connected to the grid system.
Mm.
So we, you know, distribute our data and also simulated data all over the world.
Mm.
And we do the simulation, we do the analysis.
Are all the computers participating, like official? Because sometimes with these calculations they use like regular people's computers.
You're talking about SETI?
Yeah,
that's
distributed computing.
Yeah.
I think so far it's not using those. We have some subset of the data which is open to the ordinary people, so they can try to see the, try to find the new particles. Mm.
Interesting.
Yeah. That's exciting.
Yeah, I wouldn't. It's probably hard to understand, though. Yeah, the data.
Mm-hmm.
Like you, really, like if I just opened it up on my computer, would I know what to do? Like probably not. Right?
Yeah. So we do some training course to the high school student how to run the those softwares and.
They do that with like planets too, to discover planets, don't they? Like there's, like they have, like. Amateur astronomers discover things like meteors or whatever, mm-hmm. but sometimes aren't they just looking at data and they see something because we don't have algorithms to pick everything out of the data, right?
So far, for that open data, no one has discovered a new particles yet, but maybe they might find something. Mm-hmm. We already test, look into those data, but maybe with different eyes, they can find some new particles which we missed.
That'll be crazy.
What do you know about these, like new elements, like producing new elements?
New elements? What do you mean?
Like on the periodic table, like produce new elements, right? Is that related to what you're doing or what?
Not actually, but they also use some kind of the accelerator, I guess, to generate some exotic atoms.
Okay. It's oddly similar, isn't it? Like you use an accelerator and produce some exotic thing that's just, it's very, it just exists for a second, right?
I think that is a nuclear physics and particle physics, and we have some people who is, coming from one field to the other field. So the techniques we use are quite similar.
To a normal person, all this stuff is like the same scientists, you know? Like it's the same guys.
Mm-hmm. Smart group of smart people.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's quite different, right? Like your aim is different.
Mm-hmm. I have what might be a difficult question. But I've been trying to figure it out in my head. Why does abstract mathematics describe reality so well? Like what?
It's vice versa. So those maths are invented to explain our world.
But it seems so, right, abstractions of our observations, right? But it's so internally consistent, it seems. It's so... what really is the relationship between like math and geometry and nature? We see these odd fractal patterns and there's something, it's not just math doesn't just float around in the ether. Mm-hmm. We see it in stuff everywhere, right? So why should the way broccoli grows be so mathematic or something,
not actually, it's vice versa. So mass, starting point of mass is an axiom we set, right?
Right.
And we, deduce some complicated items, right?
Right.
So especially for the this kind of elementary particle physics, so we invent new types of the mathematics to explain our measurement. Right?
That's allowed.
It's allowed because, mass, we can set any axiom, right?
Right.
So we have to develop some scheme to explain, the complicated behavior of our world.
Right.
Yeah. And there's only one, rule that we want to make it very simple.
Yeah.
Yeah. The starting point should be very simple. Assumption, yeah. Right.
But it's weird to think, what is it, the fact that you can sit down with a calculator and predict the future with math is bizarre. And we don't really, day to day, we don't really think about that power. Or we don't really think about... I mean, we always talk about how we never use math, right? You know what
like
I mean?
Me.
Yeah.
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 Yeah, it is pretty strange. I mean, that's what I wanted to know when I was small, though, like that it's everywhere, you know,
because they don't teach you that math is based on nature so much. It's more like, you know, this
yeah,
is...
like Fleming の法則とはこうこうこうです. Like, you know, you just do this finger thing, da da da. But I was the whole time I had no idea what I was doing, because it's like they only explain what people have already figured out, right? But I was just like, but so. You know, you're a student, and then it comes up to you, like, why do I have to learn this? Like, why do I need to remember all of these equations, you know? Mm-hmm. But then the point was so not there now that I know that I see it. But, you know, if I had known that when I was younger, I probably would have viewed it completely differently. Mm-hmm. And I never, like, had to wonder, like, why am I doing this? I get really like 低い点数.
That chemistry is really mathematical. You know, the chemistry you learn in like middle school or high school, it's math basically.
It's math, yeah.
It was totally math for me.
And when you go to the university, the chemistry becomes like the physics. And physics becomes like the math, and the math becomes like the philosophy.
How does math become like philosophy?
Yeah, because you know we have to introduce many, as I said, abstract concept, right? Which is not familiar with the daily lives.
Yeah, I still don't know what divide by zero really is supposed to be. I mean, I guess it's just the way I understand it is like, yeah, you could write the symbols, but that doesn't really mean anything. You know, divide by zero, it's not infinity. But in my head, if I take zero and put it into that number over and over, it's like, well, I could do this forever. right
right,
yeah,
on the paper.
Yeah.
Yeah, it is. Yeah, math, I hate it, math so much. And then I hate it, kagaku, because it's just like a complicated version of the, you know, chemistry is like, as he said, like it's a more complicated version of math. So I was so lost the entire time. I got like 7点 when I was in high school. The teacher was talking about moru. And then, you know, you have to remember all the equation and do the math. But I was just like, 何の話これ? So... That was too bad. And our entire class, I went to old girls school, entire class was lost and confused. I feel like it was such a waste of time. You know, in the meantime, like, they could have just, like, secured an hour per year and had him have a speech or something at school, and that would have been better. You know, because no one would have hated it. Like,
yeah. Well, it's... there has to be interest too, you know. For me, it's very easy for me to be interested in stuff like this because I've been alive for a while and I understand enough that the limit of my understanding is a really interesting place.
Right.
But if you're a kid, you don't understand anything. There's nothing for the information to really stick to, you know? So yeah, it is, I think it's important, you know, to have people. I don't know if we have particle physicists going to like schools and stuff, but stuff like this, I think, can be helpful in getting people interested.
Yeah, I hope so. We have a lot of student listeners, like 受験生とかもいるしね, or like 小学生 listening with their moms とか. So. Which is great. I love that.
Yeah.
So, I want to understand this Big Bang thing a little bit better. So, most of the research that's being done right now deals with really the the fractions of a second immediately after the Big Bang, right? Is that correct?
Could you repeat your question?
So most of the focus of like particle physics, mm-hmm. particle physics, mm-hmm. With accelerators, mm-hmm. is we're looking at what happened immediately after the Big Bang.
Yep, yep.
As in,
so
like
the very hot universe.
Yeah, yeah, but it's like fractions of a second after the Big Bang, right? Mm-hmm. Not like 10 minutes later.
No,
right?
No.
10 minutes after the Big Bang, like what? It's completely different.
I think I don't remember the number, but I think in 10 minutes the universe was already cooled down.
Oh really?
Maybe.
Whoa.
Haya.
And cooled down means, you know, compared to the fast, yeah. very
right, energetic, right, right.
Yeah, universe.
Right, right. Yeah. Huh.
It's weird how things change size in space too.
Mm.
I was looking at a diagram of our sun,
okay.
the sun,
mm-hmm.
and what its predicted size will be when it becomes a red giant,
mm-hmm.
and it's like a basketball versus like a pachinko ball, like mm-hmm. no 違い,
mm-hmm.
like when our sun reaches. Mm-hmm. red giant mm-hmm. phase,
mm-hmm.
the size of the sun
mm-hmm.
is like millions of times
mm-hmm.
greater.
Mm-hmm.
It's absolutely enormous.
Yeah.
Like, isn't that ridiculous?
Like, I mean, to me already the current size of the sun is ridiculous. So I just,
it is.
Anything beyond that, it's, you know.
Yeah, the earth next to the sun right now
mm-hmm.
looks completely ridiculous.
Mm-hmm.
Like
yeah.
the earth might as well not be there,
yeah.
almost.
Because mm-hmm.
It's just so tiny. And
yeah.
then the idea that the sun could become so much larger than
mm-hmm.
it already is.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, it will occupy Earth's orbit, won't
mm-hmm.
it, the sun?
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, so the Big Bang is the most ridiculous version of this,
yeah.
where everything exists in a single point.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Right? Like
yeah.
like a how small are we talking? Like a single point, as in like literally a single point? Or like a small area? Do you know what I mean?
But how do you define like point and area though? Like,
yeah.
Do you know what I mean? It is, again, like it depends on the definition of the size, no?
So like at the start of the universe, was it, I mean, if it's a single point, then that would mean it's like infinitely small.
Mm, I guess so, yeah.
Right? I guess that's how you would have to define it.
Mm-hmm.
It's not the size of like a tennis ball or something, right?
No, yeah.
Right. But what he was saying earlier was that like there might be smaller and smaller particle, right? And it could go forever,
mm-hmm.
which means the particle that we see now could be actually huge compared to the smaller, smaller, smaller version of it, right?
Yeah, that's exactly what had happened in the past. So how can we say that, you know, our quarks and leptons can be divided into much smaller version?
Mm.
Right.
No one can say, yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
What do you think of the, like, multiverse theory or the parallel universe
oh, yeah, yeah.
theory? Like, more than one universe.
Mm-hmm.
Is that, to me, intuitively,
mm-hmm.
I sort of assume that there's more universes because there's not really one of anything.
Mm-hmm.
And so it just that seems like a ridiculous assumption to make that there's
mm-hmm.
only one of
mm-hmm.
this, even if it's infinite.
Mm-hmm.
So
you're talking about the Ningen Genri. How those parameters, you know, in the current universe is, you know, so how we are lucky to be here in by the selection of the parameters, right? You're talking about that?
Well,
or the different future, the time travel things?
Well, just like,
yeah.
is there one universe? Or are there many universes?
Yeah. That cannot be, you know.
That's not something we
cannot do such an experiment, right? So we can't say anything,
right.
but we can think of any, you know, crazy ideas, which might not conflict with our observations.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, but we cannot observe the other universe.
Yeah, but which is a crazy idea? That there's one universe or that there's many universes?
Okay, so let me talk about that. So that our universe,
mm-hmm.
some, you know, parameters are quite, you know, good.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so we are so lucky to be here.
Right.
So there is some question that why those parameters are chosen to be such, you know, good values.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah? So right. one you know, one explanation is that, you know, there is some God and God chose the, you know, parameters.
Mm-hmm.
But the other explanation is that there has been many different kinds of the universe.
Mm-hmm.
That only in our universe, the parameters are accidentally so good combination, mm-hmm. that some mankind who can observe the outer world, who can develop the civilization,
mm-hmm.
Is you know, born only in our universe.
Right.
That could be another explanation why those, you know, elemental parameters, basic parameters in our universe seems so lucky combination.
Mm.
And we cannot tell, you know, this is okay or not. This is a right answer or not.
Mm.
But this is very, you know, 説得力がある
説明だと思います。
How lucky are we to be here?
Very lucky.
Pretty lucky.
Yeah. Pretty lucky, yeah.
Mm. If we fuck this up and and the earth is destroyed and we go extinct, is that a huge, huge deal? Like, how bad is it really from a cosmic perspective? You know, how we're so lucky, but we kind of take it for granted, and, you know, we're not really, you know, we find dead dinosaurs, we're like, oh, that's interesting, but we don't really think about our existential risk that much, right? So if Earth is destroyed, like, that's a huge deal, right?
Mm-hmm.
Not just for us, but for, like, the universe in a way.
Yeah, I'm talking about more fundamental parameters, so that, you know, if we chose a different parameter, the universe just, you know, just collapsed right after its birth. Or there might not be any, how to say, flat distribution, so that we could make some stars after the expansion of the universe.
Mm-hmm.
So such initial parameters of the, you know, our universe is not, you know, derived from the theory. So that is elementally chosen or, you know, selected in how to explain our universe. So that is empirically given numbers.
Mm-hmm.
So it could be different ones. So why those parameters, really lucky combination of the parameters, is a great concern of the theory people.
Yeah, it's what kids ask growing up, you know, just why this, why that, why? And those questions go away as you get older, but really they're still there. Like, why is anything what it is?
Mm-hmm.
You know, why?
Yeah, my son always asking me why.
But you're asking why too at work.
Yeah, yeah, that's true.
So, yeah.
I think it's said by Einstein, but he said, important thing is not to stop questioning.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I think that is basic, you know, that is motivation which drives us to look for another new theory.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, like those questions get so weird. Like, sometimes I wonder, like, why am I me instead of somebody else?
Mm-hmm.
Like, why aren't I somebody else?
Mm-hmm.
Like, what's that about? You know, like,
because
it's always been this way for me, you know, but I can't come up with a reason why my consciousness as an observer is inside this particular body instead of a different, you know, so I feel like these sort of questions exist all over the place.
Yeah.
My question hasn't changed since I was, like, really small. Like, what is this?
Mm-hmm.
Like, you know, people can give me, like, physics, math, like, whatever, but, like, what's all of this, you know, this entire thing, like, what's this?
But that, the
like, it's
the what is this question can only be answered once you know everything, right? You have to know
pretty much
have to know everything.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. But then you said one time, like, I think he read something somewhere, and then he was like, yeah, you know, I used to think that when I think about answers that we might get, I used to assume that I would understand that answer, but it's possible that even if we get the answer, I wouldn't understand it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's already
happening. Because it's
happening.
So complicated.
That's what this whole conversation is.
Yeah.
We have answers. We have some answers. Mm-hmm. But the comprehensibility yeah. is not quite there.
Yes.
Yeah.
You know, so there's this inherent, science is trying to be understood. Mm-hmm. Always.
Yeah.
Right? And that's so much of a limiting factor for so many people in this world and for your...
Even in our experiment, you know, we have some limit because any experiment has some error. Mm-hmm. Right? So we can, you know, the nature tells everything to us, but we can understand only within the level of the experimental errors, uncertainties. So
But there's this public attitude of mm-hmm. sort of, somebody somewhere understands this. You know, some scientist understands this. Mm-hmm. But for every single individual, like mm-hmm. your life experience, mm-hmm. If somebody else understands something, mm-hmm. that doesn't do you any good. You need to understand things for yourself. Mm-hmm. You know, you need to... Because it's like a weird thing to talk about, but... It's like we pretend we have understanding on deposit somewhere. Mm-hmm. It's stored somewhere. Like it's safe. We've got it. But, you know, what difference does that do you as an individual if you pay no attention to it? You know?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Right?
Yeah. I mean,
does that make sense?
Yeah. I mean, I think at the end of the day, for individuals, it's preference.
But every single person is an individual, you know?
Mm-hmm. Right.
It applies to everybody.
Yeah. But, you know, I'm surprised sometimes because there are people who want to know all these things, like who want to talk to experts like him mm-hmm. and like just ask questions. But then on the other hand, there are people like who don't want to know because they get scared. When they think of like all these huge, you know, philosophical questions or, you know, large scale or small scale stuff, you know, which is not understandable for me because I like these things. But, you know, I guess if it scares you, then it's shogunai.
Yeah, I think it goes back to the same thing. Like the, you know, the answers are sort of at the edges, you know, at the extremes.
Yes.
And so, you know, if you're at home every day, doing, you know, your sararima and you kind of go through your cycle, that's drastically different than traveling to another country. Mm-hmm. You know, that's time slows down in another country. Mm-hmm. The experience is so much richer. There's just so much more going on just from changing your environment that way.
Yeah. Michael, the life coach.
Well, I mean, if you were just in some capsule hotel for 80 years and you died, that would be a shame, right?
Yeah, totally.
Mm-hmm. Right?
Totally.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, I don't want you to get late. You have to go pick up your kids at some point, right?
Okay.
That's what I loved when he told me, like, oh, I have to leave at a certain time because I got to go pick up my kids. And I was like, wow, that's awesome.
Yeah, it's okay. Yeah. I asked my wife to pick up.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Thank you.
But I want to join the dinner.
Right. Yeah, of course, of course. That's the most important thing. Mm-hmm. Family.
Yeah.
How old is yours? It's your son, right?
It's 4 years old son and... becoming one daughter.
Baby Linda.
If anyone was interested in working with this sort of stuff, like students right now, or how would you recommend they get into this sort of career?
So if you're interested in this kind of, you know, basic science, you know, it might seem very difficult to be a researcher. But there is many different ways to get involved in this kind of business because, you know, we have to build our detectors using some sensors, which is, you know, developed by some companies, right? Mm. So that kind of sensors are also used by other, you know, factories or whatever.
Mm. Right.
about maybe we ask them for the very severe conditions criteria to fix, because we are, you know, doing some crazy stuff.
Right,
so we
right.
have to ask them to specially develop some, you know, some high class version, whatever.
Mm. Right.
So that is also another way to contribute to these kind of things,
mm.
right? So the Japanese company are very eager to, you know, join this kind of development. So we are very happy to collaborate with those companies,
mm.
like the Hamamatsu Hotoniksu, for example.
Mm. Okay.
They have invented a brand new, you know, very crazy photo sensor, which is, you know, as I said, sensitive to the very, very weak light.
Mm. Mm.
So that is another way to, you know, collaborate or contribute to these kind of things. And also supporting our, you know, project
mm.
as a taxpayer is also very very important,
right?
To make it, you know, make it happen,
right? Right?
So the please, you know,
pay your taxes.
Pay taxes.
No, no, it's not
the I'm paying my taxes. No, no, I'm no. contributing. Now I feel better.
No, no, no. So as I said, you know, you don't have to, you know, pay tax for our experiment, but you have to. I'd like to ask them to join some discussion
mm-hmm.
of making decisions,
mm.
you know, which kind of, you know, scientific program or any other, you know, other items we should spend our money, limited money.
Right.
So, you know, so me personally, you know, because I'm doing this kind of experiment, so I want to do a bigger experiment, but I also want to, you know, make decisions with all the society, right? So please keep some interest if you are interested in this kind of business. So please keep your interest and join such conversation and discussion
mm.
and ask many questions. So that is what I want to say.
Ask many questions.
Yeah.
Have you seen, like, on websites like Reddit, they do like
mm-hmm.
sort of an open
yeah,
Q&A?
Yeah.
With, ask me mm-hmm. anything.
Ask me anything, yeah. Mm-hmm.
I guess there's particle physicists
yeah,
that
I guess
do
so.
It.
Yeah,
this sort of like social interaction and mm-hmm. like using the internet for this sort of thing.
Yes.
I think it's not something that's really been done until recently.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah, mm-hmm. exactly, yeah. So when I was a high school student, so there's no, you know, almost no homepage.
Right.
Only the, you know, scientific homepage was NASA's one.
Yeah.
And I have to, you know, wait 10 minutes to download one
right.
picture
yeah.
or whatever.
Right, right.
But now, you know, we have more 充実した homepages mm. and also we have some social accounts.
Mm.
So, you know, we start to reaching out to the society.
Mm.
It's become cool.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Right.
And just, you know, him being on our show like this.
Yeah, that is
it's
a
crazy.
Part of the, you know, such kind of outreach, I guess.
But it's actually cool.
Yeah.
You know.
It is cool.
It's legitimately cool. Like space has become so cool
mm-hmm.
and so many scientific endeavors have become so cool recently.
Mm-hmm.
And it's I don't know if it just became cool or it just became cool in my mind. Or, do you know what I mean?
Yeah. Well, I think it's definitely easier to access and to understand, right? Because NASA has like a rover のさ、着陸する、
mm.
まあ、Twitter とかもあるから身近に感じるし、その着陸のシミュレーションの動画とか YouTube で見れたりとか、
mm.
you know, it's more visual, I guess.
Mm.
So like, you know, you don't have to go read like all kinds of technical stuff. You can just watch it and be like
mm.
amazed still.
Yeah.
Even if you don't understand anything.
Right.
You know, so... And that is cool.
Yeah.
Yeah. So we are trying to, you know, post many interesting photos on our Twitters and Facebook accounts.
Mm, okay.
So please follow our collaboration Twitter and Facebook account.
What is it? Your Twitter?
Not my, but our.
Or so, yeah, the, do you know what the account?
The handle?
Can we put them on the...
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah, yeah,
so
yeah.
So later you can find them.
Yeah, the interface between society
mm.
and like these
mm.
scientific projects is so important, especially this issue of comprehensibility to make things easier to understand because it's not, I almost want to use the word like liquidity with like you use it to talk about value in economics typically, but there's a liquidity to information as well. You know, how comprehensible is it? You know, if someone can put out, like recently there was some video about the history of Japan and it was like animated and, you know, had little characters running around and stuff, but that had a huge impact on millions of people just because it was so digestible, you know?
Yeah, because otherwise people would just skip it.
Yeah, exactly. But science, you know, scientists haven't really grasped this for a long time, I feel like. You know.
Right. Right.
Yeah.
So that. Yeah, and I hope that the, you know, normal people talking like this on our show help people into thinking that, you know, it's normal to be interested in these things. You know what I mean?
Yeah, you're not that. You're not a weird guy. By you're not weird.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, like you. You know, because who are these guys that work in a particle accelerator? We don't know who. What kind of people are they? Is it, you know, some guy just surrounded by millions of books in his basement just doing?
Yeah, it's like, you know, he's a dad and he has a kid to go pick up and you know.
Yeah.
But that's true everywhere.
Yeah, in every industry. Yeah.
It's necessary to have, you know,
some weirdos. そうだね。Oh, ah.
Yeah.
これか。So, Twitter は、これはハンドルはどうやって見える? Oh, Bell to Collab.
Yeah.
Collaboration. No.
Yeah. I think it's better to find our official webpage and there's some link to it.
Okay.
We'll include it.
これのリンク載せます。
ありがとうございます。
ありがとうございます。すいません。All right.
Well, thank you so much for your time.
Thank you so much for the invitation. Yeah.
ね、こんな。ポロッと来てもらって超ラッキー。
And we're talking about, we got to talk about the craziest stuff in the universe.
Yeah.
Like, for sure it's the craziest stuff.
Yeah, so maybe I made some wrong statement about you know, gravitation or whatever. So if you're listening, you know, if you're the researcher in this field and listening to this podcast, it's your turn, right? To come to here and modify my statement, okay?
Yes, experts, please take turns.
Well, you can't compare it to my mistakes, so okay. I'm on a different level.
Normal people.
Yeah.
All right. ありがとうございました。本当に楽しかった。
ありがとうございます。
Thank you. Bye.
Bye.